I think we sold so many fleshlights that it was impossible for them to sell more because everyone who listens to this show is a pervert.
No
way.
They
had tapped the market.
So what?
I mean, you can only advertise with someone for so long. I mean, everybody who listens to this show has heard about the fleshlight by now. It makes sense that they wouldn't be a sponsor anymore.
So they decided to sever the relationship?
Yeah.
Fleshlight backed out?
Yeah, well, it's not that they backed out. It's just we ended it. We did it for a long time. It's totally amicable.
Coca-Cola,
they're very nice
guys. Everybody knows what Coca-Cola is, but you keep advertising.
Yeah, I'm not running any companies, man. I don't give a fuck.
I tweet them still.
Nice guys.
I still talk to them.
They're great guys.
There's a good video that they just posted that's crazy.
They just couldn't keep up with it. The first product ever where they stopped advertising because they couldn't keep up with the demand.
I don't know if that's true. I'm just joking around about that. I mean,
and you know what
you
would think? It makes sense. The only product ever is a fake vagina. That's the only one that they'd run out of materials.
I don't understand what you're saying.
That skin is rare. You know how they make that skin?
No. Yeah, yeah. It's actually a food-based product.
Chewing on one right now.
You chewing on one? It's not really like a plastic. It's almost like you could almost like digest it with your body. It's really weird.
You got to check out they just posted a video.
What the fuck did I walk into?
Yeah, what did we walk into? This isn't even our real sponsor. We're actually sponsored by Onnit.com, makers of Alpha Brain, Shroom Tech Sport, Shroom Tech Immune. And also, we recently got hacked, ladies and gentlemen.
What?
Yeah, we got hacked. They got a hold of some encrypted data. And it's all explained at Onnit.com/breach. And because of that, they're offering an 18% discount off of everything for the next couple of days. So you just use the code name Got Your Back. People are very bummed out over there that someone hacked into the system. But that's just the way it goes, man. If you're online, someone can get you. Those little script kiddies, those bad motherfuckers. Apparently, it wasn't the best setup at Onnit. They've radically improved it because of that, and they feel terrible about it. They just didn't know. It's a fairly new company. But
I've been hacked three times at just a gas station this year.
You know?
I mean, I've had to change all my shit because of
how do they get you
gas stations all the time? Something happens when you run your card through that thing, and they can just stick it in. Yeah, when you slide it through, when you run your card through, and then you put in your zip code.
Yeah.
Apparently, some of them are rigged, and some of them just copy your information. Then they have to figure out which gas station it was, where were you when it happened, which machine did you use, and then they find out and go in the machine and find out who rigged it.
Like some employee rigged it.
Yeah, it could be that. It could be a third party that transmits that data. It's really pretty sophisticated stuff. It's really nuts, really. But there's a lot of money in organized crime, and stealing credit cards is a big part of it. And so it's just fucking super common. If you're online, people are going to go after you. Discount also works on kettlebells and battle ropes. So all shit to become manly. Go get some. All right. And thanks to Alienware MMA for hooking us up with some dope laptops.
Hell yeah.
And go to deathsquad.tv and pick yourself up some cat shirts.
Yeah, that's the kind of shirts that I like.
Are you going to keep selling the first one?
No, but I do have like a box of the old ones left over that I'm going to eventually put on sale. There's only like 100 of them left.
The old one is dope. I like the new one, but the old one, I would love it if you had that for sale as well because I just think it's the shit. That cat, though, is awesome. That cat is the future. All right, you dirty bitches. Kat Von D is here. Buckle the fuck up. The real cat. Play the music, Brian, so it can be official.
You didn't talk about mushrooms.
The Joe Rogan Experience.
Train by day, Joe Rogan podcast by night. All day.
There's a lot of shit over at Onnit.com, Eddie Bravo. I don't have to talk about all the products.
Okay, so sometimes you go, I'm not going to get
Yeah, really sometimes I just half-ass it.
Because for a while there, dude, I was very impressed with your enthusiasm and your passion during those commercials.
My enthusiasm and the passion is still there.
Every time.
It's just based on reality. It's based on...
People ask me all the time, dude, is that shit for real? People, they ask me that all the time. I'm like, dude, Joe would not be involved in some shit that didn't work. He's only involved in shit that works. Trust me.
I take it every day. If you're interested in nootropics, there's a lot of stuff that you can get on your own and just buy it in bulk, and it's way cheaper than doing this, like what we've done. But just go Google it. It's fascinating shit. It's vitamins for your brain. It works. You don't need that, you clever woman.
No.
You're on top of shit already.
Imagine her tattoos on Shroom Tech.
Yeah,
imagine.
My friend Eddie Bravo is here with Kat Von D because Kat Von D actually wrote on Eddie Bravo's chest.
Yep.
Well, that's I tattooed it. On it.
Yeah.
My hair's...
pull it up. Let's
I haven't
it
shaved
out.
My chest in a long time, so it's kind of a Paul Stanley-ish.
Paul Stanley-ish.
That's my grandmother.
Wow.
I love that tattoo. How long ago did we do that?
That was... 3 years ago?
Yeah.
Something like that?
That is what I think is the most impressive style of artwork, that reproduction
of portraits.
Yeah,
freaks
me
out.
It really does.
Way. I saw this girl last night that had her father on her arm as a child, though. And so just this little child on her arm. And I'm like, anyone ever tried to, like, is it messy? Is it weird when people are like, I try to make him blink? You know, like as a baby and like fuck her with the face. And it's like, is that weird to you? And she goes, no, this guy's cummed on it before and I made him lick it off. And I'm like, what? Like, that's just crazy. Like those realistic tattoos.
Oh, my God.
Whoa.
Okay,
Brian.
I don't know what the hell he just said.
I think Brian needs to go to... You need to go take some medicine.
I think for a second there, I'm like, damn, I smoked too much weed.
I smoked too much weed.
No, I think Brian did. You just went too deep, right? You just ran up a ramp covered in Vaseline, son.
I definitely smoked too much weed on
you
that.
You lost me.
Yeah. I have to deal with him by myself sometimes.
I was trying to remember the story.
And he acts like I'm crazy.
I was trying to remember the story that happened last night, but then I was too stoned to remember it, so then I was like trying to stumble while telling a story.
Got to slow down, son.
The crazy
it's going to be okay.
The crazy thing about how this tattoo came about was her shop was one block away from Old Legends. Remember that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I passed by.
Wait, what's Old Legends?
Legends is an MMA gym that was in Hollywood.
Okay, it was on La Brea. It was a kickboxing gym down the street from your shop. So I would pass by to go home. I lived in West Hollywood. I would pass by to and from work all the time and always see your tech. I never saw your show, but I knew who you were from the billboards around Hollywood and shit. But I never, ever, not once thought about ever getting a tattoo for me. I just didn't think about it.
What happened?
My guy, Carson Hill, I have this tattoo artist who's awesome. Name is Carson Hill. He's in LA, fucking amazing. But I'm cool with him. I'm only going to let him fuck with my shit now. That's what I was thinking. But then after like a year of just passing by your shop, I ended up at the UFC in Dallas. We were in Dallas and there wasn't shit to do. And I used to work for the UFC. And I'm sitting there in my hotel room. And the ALMA show comes up. That ALMA Awards.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's like...
I was there. Yeah, yeah. I took my mom.
Yeah, so I'm watching the ALMA Awards. It's the Latino Celebrity Awards or whatever. Yeah. And I'm watching that, me being Latin. I'm like, oh, shit. I didn't know that white dude was fucking half Mexican. Like, actors are coming up and rock stars.
I thought you were talking about me. I'm like,
No. And then Kat Von D comes up. And I'm like, oh, shit. She's Mexican? Holy shit, I didn't know
I was
that.
Born in Mexico, but my family's from Argentina, so I am Latina, but I'm all mixed up.
So
damn,
at that point,
your family's from Argentina?
Yeah.
Wow, that's cool. Yeah.
So at that point, let me finish this real quick. So at that point, now she's in my head. I'm like, oh, she's Mexican. So that was Friday afternoon, Monday, first class. After class, it's 11 o'clock at night. I'm driving past her shop. It's closed up. And I'm thinking, wild hair, just a delusional thought. Hey, maybe I could get her to do a tattoo on me and film it and put it on my show.
Because...
me thinking like she would actually do it. I'm thinking for 10 seconds, I'm thinking, that's a good idea. But then as I made her right on Santa Monica Boulevard, I'm like, she's so famous, she would never do that. I'm like, what a crazy dumb thought. I go home, take a shower, to get a late night bite to eat at Kitchen 24 by myself. I just walked in.
I
sat there, and this girl comes up to me that I knew from a long time ago, Jason Chambers' ex-girlfriend, comes up and goes, Eddie, what's up? And she gives me a hug, goes, oh, shit. And she looks at me and goes, you should let Kat Von D tattoo you. I'm like, that is crazy, because I was just thinking that an hour and a half ago. That's insane or whatever. I'm like, that's a pretty crazy synchronicity.
Telepathic.
And then she goes, no, but I'm serious. I could actually get you on the show. I'm like, what? He goes, yeah, I work on the show. They hired me.
Ain't real.
She was such an idiot, that chick.
No, no, no.
And it's just interesting that you came in riding on that vehicle because it was really honestly would have probably worked more against you than for you, but somehow you made it through.
She was bros with the casting director, and she goes, "The casting director loves UFC."
She wasn't bros with anyone.
well, she did. She did get me on the show.
Yeah. And for that, I am grateful for.
Oh, well, thank you. So she.
It's funny when shit works that way. When you have some weird idea, and all of a sudden it becomes reality.
The next morning, I meet the casting director, and he said, "Let's do it," because he's a big UFC fan, and I was just right there on the show. And you know what? They go, Kat is very picky on who she does tattoos with.
It's true.
So if she doesn't pick you, will you go with the other two? And I said, no.
Were you on the fence at all?
Well, you know, it's when we would film the show, there was like a screening process. So like I would get these like lists of different ideas and requests, I guess. And so I would, based on the artwork, I would filter through and do the ones that I knew that I was capable of or I'd be excited about. But they wouldn't really tell me much about the person coming in because they want it to be all natural on camera and stuff. So I didn't know. I think I knew very minimal. Other than your name, I didn't know.
Yeah, she didn't know. She just. She
didn't know.
Very strange.
Yeah, I said I wouldn't do it. I felt it was so crazy that I thought of it that night. An hour and a half later, some chick makes it happen. I thought it was so crazy that I said, no, I won't do it unless Kat does it. I'm not interested.
Yeah, that is really odd when things like that happen. Because there's no denying that like statistically. Put that shit on paper.
How crazy is that?
Put the
That's
thought
a real story.
Into your head on paper and then meeting. What are the odds of that?
Yeah.
That's like fucking millions to one. It's almost like the story of your life is like the writers are working on it less and it's just getting shittier and easier for things to happen. It's like instead of it being some complicated fucking War and Peace epic of, you know, complicated intertwining personalities. No, I just think about some shit, and the next day you get a phone call. It's like, yeah. What?
No, an hour and a half later.
Imagine if you had, if you had like a bunch of magic gifts and you didn't know about them, and you were just using them on tattoos and shit. When you could maybe fly or breathe underwater or something. You know, like you might have had a magic gift and you made it happen. You're like, you maybe crazy. Get a handful of those in your life.
Yeah, I told him.
And you just decided to do that
it
and make it happen.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Actually, when you think about it.
It was insane.
Even if you had like little magic, like the ability to make something happen, a few gifts like that in your life, you're really not going to be able to do anything that's truly supernatural. I mean, that would have already been done already. So like when you look at someone who's got like a tattoo is actually one of the best things you can do. You know, get something that's permanent artwork on your skin that to you I know means an incredible amount. And to get it from someone like her and to get it all in like one bit, that really is better than like most magic tricks.
That,
you know?
I mean,
really.
Right?
It's fucking
insane.
Incredible.
I was trying to tell the story to the producers. They didn't want to hear that shit because they didn't want to hear that one of the chicks that worked on the show like pulled the string. They didn't want to make that part of the show. And the
yeah,
because
it breaks the walls of reality.
Yeah, when I was telling that story, I'm like, I got an incredible story, but they go, we don't want to hear that story.
Oh, that's a great story. Why wouldn't they tell that story?
Because then it shows that someone got dragged in and pulled.
I think it's smarter on the. I mean, you know, the relatability on that in comparison to your actual story. You know, like what you do and what it took to get you there, and what the meaning behind the tattoo is a lot more. I guess, you know, it resonates with the viewer much more than saying, "Oh yeah, hey,
right.
This is a Hollywood moment. I was at fucking cafe."
Well, I wouldn't think of it as a Hollywood moment, though. I think for him, it's just a crazy piece of synchronicity. It's
And I think we ended up actually talking about that kind of stuff anyway, like throughout the
session, told you that story before.
You a big fan of synchronicity? Do you experience it in your life?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of being the master of your own reality. I think, you know, it's not so much about wishing your way through something or manifesting it, but you know, I think certain mental attitudes or mentalities that are more productive than others.
Well, we know that certain attitudes, I mean, you've talked about it, like that John Sarno back thing. Like if you have like some sort of you could be upset or angry at things and have a bad back and think that your bad back is actually like an injury.
Sure.
And it's not even an injury. It literally is your own brain causing your body to knot up in some sort of a crazy way that's painful.
It deprives, I don't know the exact science behind it, but when you have some serious stress in your life, somehow, this is a theory that I heard, I didn't make this up, your body, the pain is real. Your body will suffocate or deprive oxygen to your back muscles, and then they get really sore and tight. That's what happens when you get nervous or stressful. That's the theory. It kind of makes sense because I have a back story as well, but I don't want to get into that, but I believe it. That's a long story. We're here to talk about it.
Yeah, but my thinking was that, you know, you really do change a lot of shit with your mind. I mean, yeah. your mind just in the things that you come up with, like your artwork. Doesn't it ever feel like sometimes like where the fuck is this coming from? This is almost like it's coming out of nowhere. It's coming out of your creativity. You know, it's coming out of this weird place in your mind. Then all of a sudden, it's manifesting itself in this beauty. Does it ever like freak you out?
I don't know if it freaks me out. I just get excited about things, you know. And I don't know. I'm in love with my job. I can't even call it my job. That would be so weird to say that, you know. Or I guess I'm the luckiest person on the planet. But yeah, I think it's just more perspective, really. I think for years. Well, you know, I've been tattooing since I was 14 years old. I got into my first tattoo shop when I was 16. Illegally, obviously, and I never went through like a traditional apprenticeship or anything like that. But then this funny idea for a TV show happened when I was like 21, 22, and it changed the dynamics of things. You know, at the time I was drinking and partying a lot, and so I'm sober now, but it was like I almost had resentment towards people, you know, after doing like a lot of the same stuff over and over again, and the expectations that come in, it kind of like rapes the art at times, you know, because you just want to, I mean, for me, I just wanted to create, I just wanted to draw or tattoo and do my best. And then, you know, the story behind the tattoo and all that, it gets pretty heavy after a while. But then, you know, something flipped and I saw each opportunity or each tattoo as an opportunity to connect with people, you know, and I think I'm always looking for that. You know, I sound like a hippie, but like, I like making people like feel good about things and about life, whether it's about death or whatever.
It does sound like a hippie, but yeah. It's beautiful. But it, you know, it's like it's a weird thing that we mock stuff like that.
I mock myself more than anything because I catch myself sounding that way.
I do as well. Yeah, I catch myself sounding like a retard. I'm like, what are you talking about, idealistic fool? But
synchronicity.
But that
shit
would be the best way to live if we all could figure out how to tune in like that, and everybody could. I feel like I'm always at my most creative when I'm being like generous and kind and nice to as many people as possible.
Yeah.
And experience the, you know, a good connectivity with all the human beings you interact with.
Totally.
You feel better. You feel like it's working better. The things.
Well, I think you recognize your power as an individual, you know, and I think like intentions are really important. You know, there's like this little thing that I do, and I think I've only told like one person about it. At the end of every tattoo, I put this paper towel on the tattoo, and I put like witch hazel, which is like a natural astringent and stuff. And it's like, I always like hold my hands over it for a minute. And I think that the client most of the time thinks I'm just like cleaning it off or something. But in my mind, I'm thinking like several words. And this is really going to sound like a crazy, I don't know, like voodoo hippie thing. But I just think these three words and it's like a transfer of energy and whatever.
What are the three words?
Oh, I'm telling you.
You can't tell me the three words? Really? What are they, secret?
Yeah.
Come on.
It's
they're just words.
It would kill the magic.
Why would you? No, it's impossible to kill her magic. It's impossible to kill her magic.
Unless it's something like rainbow chicken salad. No. Like, oh, yeah, maybe we should have kept it a secret.
No, I want to hear it. Why can't you tell us? It's just words.
It's not just words. I'm just kidding.
Well, I mean, I think you would help people. You'd fire them up. Maybe they start doing that with their life.
Well, I mean,
start using
people
your
have mantras and stuff, and you know, whatever works for you.
But
I think
they want to try the Kat Von D mantra. It's been so successful.
Once it's on T-shirts, then forget it.
Well, maybe
over.
You have some magic. You should give it up.
I do have magic. We all have magic. But no, the purpose being is that there's like intention behind everything you do, and I think that's really important because there is like a physical aspect of energy. You know, when people like vibes and all that stuff, there's actual energy that you're putting out into the world. So,
and focus. I mean, we all know when someone's not focusing on us when you're having a conversation, when they're looking at their phone or doing something else.
Yeah. Or, you know, like when you meet people and they're just like, they're just dickheads or they're angry or they're having a bad day or it's hot or whatever. And I've like witnessed it before where I can like bring presence or positivity into a situation, you know, where it's like, I recognize my power to do that. And it's like, I remember one time I was driving down La Brea and like I got, the chick behind me wasn't paying attention and she totally crashed into my car. And then the guy behind her wasn't paying attention and he crashed into her and his airbags went off and all this shit, you know? And I'm like, my car is like pretty stealth. It's not going to get, I don't even think I got a ding on it, you know? And the cars behind me were just like tin cans. And I just remember going, like, getting out of the car. And I mean, I'm wearing, like, full leather and just, like, tattooed and just, like, ah, you know? And I'm like, that could be pretty intimidating. And I'm like, oh, okay, I'm going to consciously, like, make these people feel okay, you know? And, like, she rolled down her window. She's like, ah. And I just remember going, hey, are you okay? And just, like, looking at her in her eye and, like, asking her if she's okay. And she just, like, softened. And after, like,
don't kill me.
Yeah, by the end of the, because I could have been, like,
angry.
You
look like some crazy gangbanger chick. Yeah, you look like you could do some damage. Yeah, if I was a chick, I would be so bummed out if I rear-ended you.
No, and no. Afterwards, we were all laughing about it.
That would suck.
Cool. And I think that we have the power to do that. Most people get all like up in arms about things, and I just realized. Yeah,
I read something when I was a kid that nothing has any meaning other than the meaning that you give it.
Yeah, totally.
And
yeah.
You could force things to be positive. You could force all negative situations to be opportunities for growth. You know, you can. You can.
Yeah.
It's a way you can live your life like that.
Totally.
Or you could be a fuckhead just slamming into walls everywhere and.
And live in misery.
Never figure it out.
Yeah.
You got your first tattoo when you were 16?
No, I got my first tattoo when I was 14, actually.
Holy shit.
Was it good?
Yeah, I still have it. It's like a little J on my ankle. It was for my first love ever. And we did it for like 3 years. And
wow, that's intense.
Yeah, I ran away, like moved across the country on a Greyhound bus.
How old were you when you did that?
By then I was 15 when I moved across. And then I was already tattooing and stuff. So,
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
You could put a Z under it and then put 99 problems in quotes.
I don't know that, but I just tell people it stands for Jesus. Or just kidding.
Just kidding? That's funny.
Yeah, you know.
Wow, that's a really young age to be traveling
across the
country.
I know, my poor parents, man. And I had a hard time, like, I think forgiving myself for a long time because I'm really close with my dad and stuff. He actually, like, lived with me up until recently and he got his own place and I was pretty bummed about that, but... Yeah, at the time I was like, oh, you know, I never wanted to hurt anybody's feelings. I just really felt like the need to do this thing that my family didn't understand, you know. And they're from a different culture, like I said, and stuff, so they weren't really prepared for, you know, they assumed like tattooing, oh my God, you're like a hoodlum or a gangster or a drug addict or a hooker or whatever, you know. I was none of the above.
So they never put in their head, you're doing tattoos, boom, you're going to be some crazy famous chick.
No, I mean, you know, and we lived a really isolated world. Like, you know, the way we were brought up was not very Americanized at all. So, like, which I'm glad because I feel like that's really honestly the one of the things I credit to, like, being able to do all things I've done is just, like, the discipline. And, you know, the three of us, my brother, sis, and I, we were all, like, classically trained on the piano since I was six. And, you know, 2 hours a day we had to practice. And when we would rather be, like, hanging out and stuff. And we were, like, way too poor to, like, afford, like, video games and shit like that. So I drew all the time and spent time with my family and stuff. And so for that, I'm grateful. I feel like that discipline really plays into, like, executing ideas. You know, I have millions of ideas at all times, you know. And just, like, I think a lot of people have ideas and they just think it's, I don't know, they've been programmed to think it's not, like, attainable or something, which is silly to me.
Yeah, well, there's that hump that you have to get over in associating pleasure with getting things done.
Yeah, and also I think, too, it's like people's idea of success is so warped, you know. It's like they base it on money or status or fame. And to be honest with you, when I started tattooing, I didn't even know it was a job. I just knew it felt organic and it felt like natural. It didn't come to me naturally. I worked really hard for it, but it felt like this is where I was supposed to be, you know? And this is granted before like a television show and stuff. It was, you know, I just came from Disneyland. It was like, if I would have gone to Disneyland back then, like, you know, you don't get happy smiles and stuff. You know, I had so many Julia Roberts moments going into stores. It's like, can we help you? You know? And I'm just like, I could buy this place, like, but no.
So they just immediately judge you? That's like a common theme?
I think when I was younger, yeah. I mean, nowadays it's so, like, embraced, you know? I mean, if my dad, who is super anti-tattoos and doesn't have any or anything, you know, it took 10 years of me tattooing because I started tattooing on that TV show after 10 years of tattooing. So it took a television show for my dad to actually, you know, acknowledge the fact that I wasn't, like, not a loser, but, you know, like, that I wasn't throwing my life away. He's like, oh, and sometimes it takes that. I don't hold that against my dad. I mean, I don't blame him, really, you know.
You've influenced a lot of chicks in, like, how they look.
Oh.
Like, you were the first one that, like, popped through.
And boys, Joe.
The first one who was, like, a really hot chick who just tattooed herself the fuck up. It's like, whoa, this chick went for it. And guys were like, I like it. And then, boom, then there was a wave of them. It was you, and then it was like everywhere you look, there's these crazy tattooed up girls. Like, the percentage of it I don't know what, I don't know, I'll put a number on it, increased by like 30, 40, 50%.
Like, it went from however minimal amount of women tattooed to like one out of three women have tattoos in America. And that was like back, let's see, I remember that stat when I did the Ellen DeGeneres show, which was like years ago. So
that's
it's
hilarious.
Probably more now.
Do you look at the stats like we're winning? We're taking over?
No, because I never, I actually, you know, I mean, I have friends that have no tattoos and they're like, feel the need to get one. I'm like, I don't know, I like you the way you are, you know? It's good. I mean, I get tattooed for myself personally, you know? It's, if anything, it's kind of a drag sometimes. I don't really feel like, you know, always talking about my tattoos, like when I'm going out and stuff, but it's also a positive thing. So I can't complain, you know? I love art, so, yeah.
Yeah, it's a weird thing with people. If they either have them or they don't have them. If they don't have them, they could never imagine. I could never imagine.
Yeah.
I can never imagine drawing something. It just
suicide,
stays on you forever.
Suicide Girls, they owe you big time. You blew that that company up, right?
I don't know.
Well, that whole look.
They need to worship you.
Do you?
I think I tattooed the guy who came up with that whole concept, but a while ago.
Do you feel weird about that? Like that you've, I mean, that's got to be a strange thing to have so much influence.
You know, I think I may not have recognized it when I first started, you know, being in the public eye or whatever. It's, As that, until I got sober, I think I really started recognizing that, and it became important to me. You know, I'm pretty PG-13 just by nature. You know, I'm pretty squeaky clean. I don't. You could take my phone and go through it and find pictures of my cat and stuff. Probably not anything incriminating, but I like the idea of like putting that good stuff out there, you know, like all my books and everything. It's really easy for me to talk about my downfalls or like my issues or not struggles, because that sounds like I'm a martyr or something, but like, you know, the shit I've experienced in hopes that, I don't know, people would feel less alone, because I know what it's like to feel that way. So, you know, I don't know.
Well, that's what a lot of people say about people that are covered in tattoos. And if you never, I have two sleeves, if in case you're thinking I'm being an asshole. They feel like a lot of people who don't have tattoos feel like you're covering something up.
Oh, yeah. I remember Dr. Drew and I had a conversation about that, because he, I loved this book that he wrote. And in it talked about how tattooing is like a form of narcissism, not on like a level of, I think I'm awesome, but the opposite, which is narcissism just the same. But, you know, like it's a reflection of what it's on the inside. And I don't really necessarily see it that way, because to me, yeah, there's some tattoos that hold meaning. Like I love my dad. I got a portrait on my arm. That's self-explanatory. But there's other stuff I let, like my friends who don't know how to draw, like tattoo me and it looks like a drunken 3-year-old did something. And I love it, because it's just fun and it's cool and I don't really care, you know?
You let your friends draw on you. That's awesome.
Yeah. I let them tattoo me, which is a bigger
huge
deal. Yeah, but...
Dr. Drew is a silly bitch. He really is a silly bitch. I love him too, but he's a silly bitch.
We need to get him on podcast. I saw him the other day at the gas station.
I would get him on. I he's been involved in that scandal for... influencing the idea that people bought some certain drugs off label, like saying touting their sexual benefits and stuff. And then he'll talk crap about marijuana or people smoke pot, and he'll say silly things like how horribly addictive it is, and it's all just nonsense.
I don't, you know, I haven't, like I said earlier, I haven't owned a television it was 16 years in March, and I'm pretty adamant about not watching television.
My point,
so I don't know, but you know, I get what you're saying.
Can't tell you why you're getting. You can't say that you're just not enjoying the art. You can't. I know people who love their tattoos. They love it for art.
Yeah.
It's, you know, you don't have to be covering
something. I'm an expressive
person,
and you know, of course we all have issues and stuff. And I have no problem like wearing my heart on my sleeve. And I mean, I've actually gotten a lot of shit for that. You know what I mean? In the past and stuff with relationships. And I don't really live in that world of regret or really giving a fuck. So,
yeah.
You know,
I just hate absolutes like that. Like you have to be fucked up. You have to be this. You have to be that. It gets silly with certain things.
Yeah. I mean, I think no one's perfect either. So I feel like, you know, I can see the goodness in everything, even the stuff I don't necessarily agree with, you know, I guess. I try to at least.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. I would like to look at things that way. I would like to look at people with tattoos and just, you know, I don't know why anybody got them, but I look at them and I go, wow, I hope you like it. I hope it's something that means something.
Yeah.
I hope it's something. Everybody, for whatever reason, wants to immediately try to figure out what was fucked up with you that made you get to the place where you enjoy that.
I'm more scared of the person who's like totally corporate and working in a cubicle that's miserable, and there's like suppression of creativity. Like, man, that's such a waste of
life,
energy. You know, like God. Yeah. Imagine if everybody was free to do things like, as they, you know, like I was talking about earlier, people's idea of success. It's like, imagine if you didn't, you weren't bound by like everybody else's idea of that. You know, like if you could settle for a job that paid less, but you were completely happy. I mean, my dad and I, we used to argue about this all the time because he's like, you know, you didn't go to high school, and then it's like, yeah, I know, Dad, I know, but check it out. Like, you went to years of school and you don't like what you do and you're struggling so hard. And, you know, my dad comes from a medical background and stuff. But, and I whistle on my way to work every day and I walk down like the tarnished fucking Hollywood stars, you know, like just walking. I'm like, oh my God, there's like a bunch of punk rockers there. And it's like, oh, like, it's just, life is good. Like, I love it. I, you know, and if I wasn't getting paid, I'd still be happy.
There's a documentary that Werner Herzog just put out. It's called Happy People, mm-hmm. A Year in the Taiga. It's these people that live up in Siberia, uh-huh. And how happy they are. And there's like no depression. Everybody just does their work. And all their whole life is struggle. Their whole life is all, they live off the land almost completely and entirely, trapping, hunting. And they're in fucking Siberia. There's only one way to get there. You have a couple months where you can take a boat. That's it. Otherwise, you got to get flown in.
Yeah.
There's no roads to get up there. And these people are happy as fuck. They're just up there, you know, like shooting animals, living off the land, growing their own vegetables. They have to work hard in the spring and summer to prepare for the winter.
Yeah.
And then they prepare for the winter, like smoking fish. I mean, every day, no one has a job. Every day, they're working, like securing food for their families and storing it up so they can make it through the next winter. I mean, it's amazing.
It's not really that different than living in Hollywood and people who do that in their own ways. It's just, it's just more, I feel like,
it's more from natural.
It sounds so much more simple and like less thought evoked. Like here, it's like the stress of getting to work and fighting 3 hours of traffic to get to a job that I don't respect or love, and you know, it's you're still suffering or whatever for something. You know what I mean?
Well, something happened somewhere along the way, and society and our culture moved way faster than the human body did, and all of a sudden, jobs required you to sit still. They required you to stare at fucking unnatural light. They required you to enter in things and your fucking back hurts and you're doing it all day, every day. Like, the body's not designed for that. The body's designed to do what these fucking people in Siberia are doing. It's designed to go out and kill caribou and you know, have dogs chained to trees and they keep the bears away. I mean, these guys are happy as fuck.
Yeah.
And this is the real way we're supposed to live. It's crazy.
What if they hate it?
Well, they don't, though. See, what I'm saying is that like all of our little receptors, I think, are set up to reward us for certain experiences. And I don't think we're set up any different than the people that lived when you had to live like that. So I think the only way to really not feel lost is there's no fucking movie star status when you're in Siberia. There's no front of the line of the
club.
There's
no mentally generated.
There's no bullshit. There's no nothing. There's no head of 10th Planet Jiu-Jitsu. There's no stand-up comedian. There's no nothing. There's get a fish. You got to get a fish because we're going to fucking die in the winter if you don't. And everybody does that, but yet they're all happy as shit. You remember when you were a kid and you thought of like where you were, like, well, I'll never live there. I'm never going to move there. I'm never going to get out of this class. I'm never going to get out of this situation. This is where I'm at. Well, for them, it's a reality where they're surrounded by nature and woods. Like, there really is no alternatives.
Yeah.
So they have no delusions. Yeah. There's no ridiculousness in their life. And they're truly in the moment living like people were living 10,000 plus years ago.
Yeah.
That's how we're supposed to live. So we're fucking ourselves up.
If they had TV,
city bullshit.
How long do you think it would take? One generation?
TV, they'd be out of there in a minute.
The kids were like, what are we doing out here?
Yeah.
Looking at MTV.
Kat Von D would change the way they all look.
They would get scared.
I want tattoo, mommy.
In 1 month, they'd all want tattoos. They'd be making homemade tattoos of beaver teeth and shit. They would start tattooing themselves in Siberia. Yeah.
Beaver.
Someone should make a
yeah,
show
we were at
that.
The coffee place, and we were having small talk with the nice lady behind the counter, and she said, "Oh, I had a house sit this weekend. It was terrible. They didn't even have cable, no internet." And me and Eddie were like, "Well, but we were being serious." And we're like, "Whoa, no cable? What the fuck? So what do you use, antenna?
Sucks.
That sucks." And then Eddie goes, "Well, at least he got the internet." And she's like, no, they didn't even have the internet." He's like, "What? What?
Because fuck TV. You can just get on the internet.
These guys don't even have
YouTube.
That. They don't even have electricity, and they're happy.
Yeah.
They don't have electricity, man.
They just don't know.
They get a little bit of gasoline that they use for their snowmobiles and their chainsaws, and that's a wrap. That's yeah. it.
They probably think they're balling, like the lower class of them live yeah. in the hills and shit.
There's no class, man. That's what's crazy. They all live in the exact same houses. They don't even use windows, man. They don't use windows because windows are too hard to carry around. So they build these houses out of logs, and then they cut holes in the logs and put plastic yeah. and nail plastic in place. So
that's
they
all you need.
Yeah, there's yeah.
Well, it's 'cause of bears. Yeah. Bears rip them apart so often.
Those like, damn bears, I swear.
Where are they going to get glass anyways?
it's hard to transport. Yeah, it's,
oh, well, they can bring get shit?
It. I mean, they got chainsaws. They're not making their own chainsaws. They somehow or another got chainsaws either taken to them on a boat or flown in. Somebody gave them a few tools. But they like make boats with a fucking big piece of wood. Yeah. They just drop it down and hollow it out and make this canoe. And that's like that's how they live every year. It does never change. And yet they're happy as fuck. It's yeah. really weird. Because to us, it would be hell. To the lady who works at the coffee place, she was bumming out that she didn't have cable. You know, these motherfuckers are fighting mosquitoes like you've never seen. Because the mosquitoes are only alive for like a couple of months. They only got a couple of months in Siberia to live. So they go gangster
yeah.
in giant swarms. Like you've never seen anything like that. And they don't have any raid or any shit like that. So they off. They have to cover themselves in tar. They make a tar with bark. They cook the bark down to a tar and then rub it all over their face with like oil.
Fuck that. I'd be gone. I go, fuck this peaceful
imagine?
Shit.
You've never seen mosquitoes like this.
That's horror.
Well, that's one of the beautiful things about LA is that we're not supposed to be here. So life doesn't like it here either. There's not that much here without us. It's not that much water.
There's not
so
supposed
very
to be grass.
Few bugs. Yeah. There's very few bugs. Like in the summers in the East Coast, it was fucking terrible. You know, especially like in Boston, if you lived anywhere near a lake, yeah. anywhere near body of water. Oof. Oh, the mosquitoes were horrendous, man. Yeah. They would fuck you up. Nothing like Siberia, dude. You don't see shit. Yet they're so happy.
Yep.
But then again, you wouldn't be happy that way. You Maybe. Wouldn't be happy. No, you wouldn't. Not if you know your life now. You love tattooing. You love, you know,
yeah,
you
but
love.
But that doesn't define me. I mean,
that's
I
true.
Don't know.
You could adapt.
Yeah, of course you can.
Do you think you could be a Siberian princess?
I don't know if I want to be a princess, but...
Be up there beaver trapping and shit. A warrior, yeah. That would be cool.
Do
for
both.
The first
a couple months
days.
A year. Fuck it. You go live with them.
Until you realize they have no cigarettes. You're like, shit. No cigarettes?
Like, I want a cigarette so bad. You're like that for 2 days.
And someone will give you some rolled up bullshit that yeah. tries to claim as a cigarette.
One issue of Inked magazine would destroy that culture.
Yeah. Oh, anything would destroy it. Access to some other things would destroy it. The idea is that it takes the body somewhere between 10 and maybe even possibly 20,000 or more years to completely change. Like to completely change as far as like for you to have a genetic response to adaptation to change. To like 10,000 years for us is a long, long time to a human being. But to species, it's really not that much.
Yeah.
So in order for things to like decide that they're moving in a certain direction, then they start changing. And that's one of the things that like the really controversial ideas behind autism is that autism is not necessarily a benefit, but that autism might be a new possible way that the brain can operate. You know, with some like sure. really high functioning autistics,
yeah.
it's like what they're showing is like even though it's coming through in a disease, and even though it brings with it debilitating social issues and shit like that, the positive aspects of it, like a kid that can look out a window and then draw the whole
sure.
fucking
or play
skyline,
the piano, like yeah.
That what that is representing the next stage of human evolution, and that all the information that we're getting from sitting in front of computers, from interacting with each other in a way that no one has ever been able to do before, the brain is just going. We're just redlining that motherfucker.
I can't wait to be able to buy that upgrade. Can you imagine that? Just
I wonder
like,
if
oh,
that's going
to
be available,
it's
gonna
Brian. It's going to be a pill. It's going to be a pill. It's just going to be like, oh, we're going to fuck up your brain a little.
Most, right here. Most likely, if you listen to like the real futurists, it's going to be some sort of a hybrid between a human and a computer. It'll be something where you...
I'll be long gone by then, thank
you
God.
Think so, but I don't know so. About that.
I want some autism
Dude,
pills.
I don't think so. I don't think you'll be long gone. I think you might experience that. And I don't necessarily think it's a bad thing. I think... Everybody's worried about every new possible technological thing as being something that separates us from each other or something that...
I'm not worried about it. It just seems like a lot of energy to waste on thinking about... I don't know. I mean, then again, you know, I'm not like a big fan of like reading fiction, you know, I guess. I mean,
sometimes. You're not a fan of fiction. You don't even have a television, right?
No, I mean, I have like a movie screen that I can watch movies.
So you watch movies, but no
sometimes,
TV.
Sometimes, yes. I like documentaries and stuff like that.
But you try to avoid TV.
No, I do avoid TV. I don't like forced advertisement, and I don't like, well, no, I don't want to complain. I just think that...
you can't complain because, you're on it, right?
It's easier for me to talk shit about, like, point out all the downfalls of my television show versus anyone else. So, like, in vague terms, I think that my problem with it, or the reason that I stay away from it, aside from just being, I got too many ideas that I want to do and I don't have time, but, like, is that I am too sensitive. So, like, I get heartbroken by billboards. Like, seriously, there was, like, a movie, I remember, there was, like, a movie, and they had billboards everywhere. I don't remember the movie. It was, like... you know, Ashton Kutcher and some like hot chick or whatever. And like, and he's like buttoning up his shirt. She's like buttoning up and she's wearing his shirt and she's like getting out of bed. And it says something about like no strings attached or like friends with benefits or some shit. And I was like, that's so sad to me. Like, that's like the opposite of love. Like you guys just like have sex with each other and there's no, like, I could never, I don't.
You almost cried looking at a billboard?
I mean, if I think about it too much, yeah, I do. So it's like I watch, if I were to sit there and watch these television shows where the premise is to like, you know, there's a rich guy and a bunch of girls are fighting over this guy and they're using like their tits and ass to as qualities, it's disheartening. So I mean, I sound like an old lady because
no, you don't.
I get it. Every time I see a Circuit City, I feel that way, like an abandoned Circuit City. It's depressing to me. I get sad.
There's just an absence of true love, and I guess the romantic in me gets saddened by that. Same with music. I can't listen to music that's too.
You can definitely get affected by some shit, especially if you don't know it's coming. Like, and you flip it through the channels. There's some intense fucking movies on. Like, that you know, you're just flipping through. Like, I watched Straw Dogs last night. Do you know what Straw Dogs is?
I haven't seen it.
There's this insane rape scene in this movie where I turned on the movie right when it was going on. I was like, what fucking movie is this? But for the rest of the night, I was all fucked up. I mean, it becomes, I don't want to say anything about the movie. The movie's very good. But it gets really fucking intense. Whereas, like, the rest of the night, I was fucked up. And I ordinarily wouldn't have watched it. But I didn't know what it was. I was just pressing buttons. And then, boom, it came on and fucked my head for the rest of the night.
Yeah, and it's weird. And I think it's like we just kind of like I think it's like people become so desensitized. And I guess that's the part that I have a problem with, you know? Like, you see it on Twitter. You see it on Instagram. So everybody's so negative and mean and take any opportunity to, like, knock people down. I've never been from that, like, train of thought, you know, because my parents just raised us a lot differently and stuff. And so... I get butt hurt real easily.
That's better though. You know, you'll attract better people that way, and you'll figure out a way to get away from the people that aren't.
Oh yeah,
like that.
For sure. I mean, it's like, giving that any value is just as bad, I think. But I just want people to be nice. That's all.
I think almost all really expressive people, anybody who's artistic or very expressive, there's always some extreme sensitivity on the other side of it as well. Just you're intense about everything. You're probably intense about love. You're probably intense about. Yeah, I mean, that's why you cry when you see an Ashton Kutcher thing. It's your intensity. You take shit up to a higher level quicker than most people. Yeah. That's probably what it is.
Everything's a symbol, and then I get sad about that. So yeah.
But I've been sad. I've cried during previews. Depressing movies.
What?
Yeah, man.
What? Good Burger? What?
I don't know. There's
you're just funny over there.
Some sad.
Thank you.
Don't encourage him.
Sorry.
What are you doing? How can you say that after all he's done?
No. But you know, then there's like those like moments of brilliance, and people are inspiring and great and do awesome shit.
Well, that's what we get off each other the most. That's the most beautiful thing that people get from each other is we're inspired by each other. Like, I love going to music because I'm not musical. I can't do anything.
Music.
So I love going and watching because I feel like it fires me up. Like, it does.
Oh, you go to musicals.
No. I love to see music. I love to see people perform. Bands perform. Mm-hmm. I love to see them. I love to see people do things that I have zero skill in.
I was impressed with our last exchange of emails when we were like going back and forth on band recommendations and stuff, because I had no idea that you were into that kind of stuff.
Well, the funny thing is
he emailed me and he's like, hey, I want to know like, what are your, what are you listening to nowadays? I want to get some new music. And I'm like, oh man, like, where do you start? Give me a genre, you know? And so
you turned me on to so many good songs.
So then I was like, all right, here's like 10, and then tell me which ones you like, and then I'll know what kind. I'll be your like genius playlist or whatever.
Oh wow, that's cool. And dude, you're using Kat Von D for your genius playlist.
Yeah, I love
She's
her,
got
man.
Some great shit. Yeah, dude. She's. That's I'm gonna awesome. Tell you my Kat Von D music story, because most people don't know that she has an amazing voice. She can sing her ass off, and she's really shy about it. She's crazy shy about it.
True?
Well, let me tell you this. She doesn't like talking about it.
No, I can talk about it. I just can't say, like, oh, yeah, it is true.
We're both working with the same producer, which is also her best friend. Danny is producing my stuff, and he's messing with her, too, musically as well. So I'm at Danny's, and we're working on some stuff. And he goes, me and Kat and Wes Borland from Limp Bizkit. He's the guitar player for Wes. Mm-hmm. He goes, me and Wes are going to do a little benefit song.
Oh, yeah.
Benefit.
He really helped me out last minute. I had
so last minute,
benefit
they put together this, they're putting together this song last minute. It's a cover, and she's going to perform at this gay benefit, right?
Yeah, it was for Linda Perry's Evening with Women. It's like an awesome charity.
So Danny's telling me, and Danny, he's like, man, we're trying to put together this song. This could
so
be
we
a
had
disaster.
Like less than 48 hours to learn this song. It was like that Bronski Beat song. I love Bronski Beat. Yeah. And I mean, I ended up just like reading it from my iPad as I was trying to, totally fucked it up. But it was fun and it was great and stuff. But then I think I had been recording that night at Linda's and you were at Danny's. And I was really excited because I had like gnarly stage fright issues like for the last year and stuff, just whatever. And so I finally grew the balls, I guess, to get over them. And so obviously Danny's my best friend and we're gonna be working on music, so I was like, oh, hey, I want to come over. It was late. I think it was like what, like almost midnight or something.
Yeah, me and Danny are working on stuff. And Linda Perry, for those that don't know, she was the lead singer for Four Non Blondes. She produced Pink's second album, which went fucking skyrocket. So Linda Perry is a massive music
producer.
Well,
I mean,
she also did
like,
Christina Aguilera too. The big "You're So Beautiful." No matter, she did
singing,
all that.
Keep singing. I want to hear this.
No, but so the Linda Perry's a huge
stop.
Right?
Yeah.
So she's working with Kat now. They're writing some shit together. I'm at Danny's. She's all excited. They recorded a song. They brought it over.
Yeah, and then Danny's like texting me, is it cool if Eddie Bravo listens? I'm like, yeah, I don't care. I just don't say anything about it. And then, but of course, I had to be in the other room because I was like, I'm not going to sit there and go, like, you know, what do you think or whatever. But,
yeah, she had to go to the next room.
It was just like vocals. It wasn't like a produced track or anything. Yeah. And then Danny was all stoked. But he texted me the other day. He's like, man, he's still talking about it. He like loved it. Then I'm like, oh, that makes me happy.
Is that what Danny said?
Yeah.
So what ended up happening, and I've told the story a bunch because like the next day at school, I said, most of you guys don't know. Most of you guys don't know this.
You can't tell
us. Most of you guys don't know this, but I was so impressed with her voice and the actual song, her and Linda Perry together. I feel with the right marketing, of course, it could. I think it could be huge.
Could it be bigger than Paris Hilton's single?
I like that song a lot.
I bet you did. You should get that shit tattooed on your dick.
No, well, anyways, the song that her and Linda Perry did together, the first one that she brought over, is amazing. What's it called?
I'm not going to talk about it yet. It's too. It's too
yeah, you can't talk about it, son. But, she's but, trying to send you hints.
Well, no. The bottom line is, she's actually a great singer.
Yeah,
her voice is amazing.
When I see your artwork, I think you'd be good at anything you wanted to be. You'd be amazing at if you can draw that well. I mean, that's like some really high level shit. You could do that with anything. I really believe that.
I believe
that with anybody who's super awesome at anything.
How many bad tattoos do you see a day of people just coming in with like? I mean, have you ever seen one that you're just like, wow, that's the worst tattoo I've ever seen?
Well, I mean, there's such a big difference in like. Personal preference versus technical aspect of things. So, like, I mean, there's some stuff that's not necessarily technically. It's like everything else, like music. It's like technically might not be the best singer, but the charisma's behind it, and you know, blah 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 blah. I mean,
well, there's that style that what was the T-shirt? Ed Hardy. That Ed Hardy sort
of
style.
Oh, like old school 1950s, yeah. Like traditional stuff.
Yeah, so which like, not that artistic, but that's like
I mean,
people like that look.
It's its own art, you know. And yeah. I didn't understand it for a long time. My ex-husband was like really into doing that kind of artwork, and he's really great at it. There's an art behind it, you know. I personally am not as inclined to do that kind of stuff, but I appreciate it for what it is. So I don't know. I mean, I think I see a lot of great ideas, you know, on people often, and then you just see kind of a poor execution or an inexperienced execution and stuff. But Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I see so many amazing things now that like blow me out of the water. It's like, fuck, there's so many great artists nowadays. So
I'm permanently scarred from ever getting a tattoo again because of my tattoo. Because
really?
It was a free tattoo. It was somebody practicing for their first time. It took 7 hours. Yeah. It should have taken 1 hour.
God, I remember then, I used to be that slow too. Oof.
Yeah, and then I found out it's not even supposed to, it's like supposed to be an R for my last name, and I found out it means waterfalls now. So now it's like the ugliest tattoo ever with this Chinese letter that means waterfalls.
But it's probably small. You can cover it up easy.
Yeah, you just get that shit lasered off, son. They could do that pretty easy now. Especially like it's not red. Red is apparently the most difficult color.
Yeah, it's got red. It's got red in it.
Have you got? Oh, is it?
Yeah,
does it? Yeah, they could work that red out.
I think red
out.
Is red is actually circle. The easiest to come out. Blue and purple.
I thought that was blue for some reason.
It's red and blue.
Red is the easiest to get out.
Yeah, red and black, and then purples and greens. I think blues and greens are a little harder, but it all depends on like how.
Have you done it? Have you done the lasering off?
Yeah.
On anything? Yeah.
I lasered a couple. Like this whole arm got lasered. It used to be, I got like this tattoo when I was like 15 or 16. It was like the New York Dolls, like cowgirl with a gun. And then there's like a flag coming out of it says bang. And at the time I thought it was cool. And I'm like, man, I have the word bang on my arm. I really need to get rid of that.
That's better than waterfalls.
How long did it take?
Well, with like laser, you have to go for sessions. It's like super painful and stuff, but
more painful than tattooing.
Fuck yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, I'm a wussy, so I don't know. I can't handle.
What did you just
yeah.
say?
Yeah.
You have tattoos all over your body, and you're telling me that you're a wussy.
Oh, my God. Ask anybody at my show. Like, 15 minutes, then I tap out. Like, I can't do it.
Wow. Those are all 15-minute tattoos?
No, this was all, a lot of them was under the influence of alcohol, so it was a lot easier. But now, like.
Back in the day.
The day, yes.
Things were easier.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that one time where I drank too much?
Oh, do I remember it?
I think we have that on video somewhere.
Just you saying that is hilarious. Because I can just go through a Rolodex in my head of any moment that sentence could apply to.
He wrote a blog about my alcohol problem.
Do you have one?
No, I don't have an alcohol. I'm not an alcoholic, but
no.
I will drink a lot on special occasions. And when I pass a certain point, the Indian comes out, as Joey Diaz says. And when the Indian comes out, for sure I'm not going to remember any of the night.
He blacks out.
Is it fun, like, though? Or is he like, oh, no. One of those like, oh, I love you, man. Like,
oh, no,
he hates it.
He's a great guy. The problem is he completely checks out and he doesn't know where he is.
Yeah.
And literally is like a third of a mind controlled by like a demon from another galaxy.
He's like totally different person.
One third Eddie and two thirds. Some demonic alcohol sucking demon from another planet.
Yeah.
But it's weird. But you
I'm
could always
evil,
like
though.
No, I'm never evil. Yeah, yeah. I don't mean that. I mean demonic. I mean like possessed by the alcohol.
Yeah.
It's like just wandering around. He doesn't know what happens until the next day when he sobers up. You have to tell him what happens. Like I can't. I've had to like get his hotel door opened by security,
banging
on
Germany.
His door in Germany when we were supposed to leave. Bang on his door. Finally, the door opens. Okay, we get the door open. Eddie is lying in bed with his cowboy boots on, and the light
and
is on.
Nothing else. And just smile.
The light is on. He's completely. I just completely out cold. I go, Eddie, we gotta go to the fucking airport. He's like, what's up? He just looks at me and the security guard goes, hey, what's up?
Yeah, like I'm trying to play it off. I'm like, hey, what's up, guys?
It was
not the worst story.
That's not even the worst story.
The car one
yeah,
is the crazy
the
one.
The car one is the worst. I talked to him. It was like I was having breakfast. It was like 7 o'clock in the morning. And the car was going to come at 9. And he calls me while we're having breakfast. He's still fucked up. I mean, he is fucked up.
The plan was to drink all night and walk onto the airplane and then sleep all the way back.
Yeah.
So like stay up all night, right?
Yeah.
So
so, you know, I go, are you fucked up? Did you stay up all night? I say, yeah, fuck yeah, man. I'm a power through. And so I go, okay, well, we're leaving at 8:30, all right? You got to be down there for the car at 8:30. No problem. So I eat breakfast. An hour and a half later, I go out for, you know, wait for him. It's an hour and a half. Sitting here 10 minutes later, I'm like, okay, what the fuck is going on? So I talk to the guy who's the valet. I go, hey, is my car here? And the guy says, what's your name? I said, Rogan. He goes, oh, Rogan already left. I go, no, Rogan is me. He goes, no, Rogan already left. I go, what did he look like? He said, well, he had long hair at the time. He said, long hair, tattoos. I'm like, that motherfucker. So I call him up. And first of all, he answers the phone and then just hangs up. I was like,
because
shit.
I'm in the back of this car. And then the phone
He didn't even know what he did.
I wake up and I see it's Joe calling. I'm like, what? I go, what's up? He goes, you took my car. And I hung up. And I we're on the Autobahn, and I tell the driver, I go, where are we going? He goes, we're going to the airport. I'm like, oh, shit. And then he keeps calling back.
I don't think that was the Autobahn.
I don't know what it was, but we're flying.
I think it was just a regular highway.
Well, sounds like a good time.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
Yeah, so then
I woke up in the car.
Sending it to my message, my answering service, or whatever. And I had to figure out what the hell was going on. And then I finally answered. He's so fucking mad. I'm like, holy shit, I'm sorry. I have no idea what happened. I just woke up in the back of the car. I don't remember the whole night. I must have passed and just jumped in his car.
But this was like, is like total, like, if Eddie, there's a certain number of drinks where he gets over, well, he'll just disappear. And he's gone. The Aubrey story, the Texas one.
Don't even go into that. I brought that up.
I was just going to bring up the end.
What? He's like, no.
You know what else I found out? I found out my cat in Japanese means waterfalls. So now I'm thinking something's fucked up with waterfalls.
What are you talking about? What cat in Japanese?
Teki in Japanese means waterfalls. I found out the other day.
Really? You're fine then. You should be celebrating your tattoo.
I don't want to go chasing waterfalls this much. I need to know why.
What's that song from? What was that band?
TLC.
TLC. That was a sweet song.
I'm never going to walk in the ocean because I might come out a blob.
Brian, you need to go outside and get some air.
So what are your plans for your music? What's the plan?
Well, you know, I think the coolest thing I think with Linda is like we're just kind of we're moving forward without any
deadlines.
No, it's not the deadlines. We have goals, obviously, but it's you know, like by summertime, I think it should be done out, which is exciting. But I think it's like we're not really congesting our thoughts with anything right now. We're just writing music without outside voices, no reference, just you know.
So you said you got over your stage fright. Are you going to start doing live performances?
Oh, yeah. I'm putting a band together.
Awesome. You going to go on tour?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Wow.
She's going to be a rock star. Watch.
Are you going to be a rock star?
That term is so weird to me.
It seems like you can sneak it through from the back door just from having talent and being on TV. It's like you just sneak it right through.
I don't know. I want to do everything, with even small things, with a lot of quality. And so I think, like, with the music stuff, I just want to make it as, you know, as good as possible, for lack of a better description. But, yeah, so I think people will probably be pleasantly surprised in the sense that they're expecting me to fail, as usual. So I like it.
People are expecting you to fail?
I think people always expect you to fail. Like, you know, I think...
Really?
Yeah. I mean, other than your friends, obviously. I'm talking about, like, you know... Yeah, I think so. Especially me, because I was on TV, so it's like, oh, you're just doing blah.
That's definitely true. But if you have some success, they want it to be it.
It's hard to get into music after you're already famous for something else. It's tough.
Yeah?
So, oh, hell yeah.
Has anybody ever done it well?
Yeah.
Jamie Foxx?
Steve Martin.
Sort of. Steve Martin?
His band's pretty big for a certain kind of music.
Oh, he does, like, just plain music shows, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he does. Hmm. He plays like banjo and stuff. A bunch of like, you know, it's a certain style of music, but he's successful in that, you know.
Hmm. Anybody else?
Eddie Murphy.
Oh, that's right.
He had a party all the time.
That's kind of like what my stuff sounds like.
Like that?
No.
Really? That's cool. What kind of shit do you sound like? What does it sound like?
You know what? Linda and I have both like tried figuring it out. And
a dark Sarah McLachlan kind of.
Oof. Stop it. Don't say that kind of stuff.
Is that bad?
No, I just... What's wrong? I could never compare myself to anybody. But yeah, no, it's just... She just calls it... powerfully pathetic, which is good. Powerfully pathetic, I think. It's all pathetic? Very sad and tragic and romantic. Oh, wow. But there's like elements of classical music and stuff and some electronic elements.
So there won't be any Sheryl Crow type, all I want to do is have some fun?
I don't even know what that is.
You don't know that song?
All I want to do is have some fun.
Stop it, guys. I think you're supposed to talk about like manly stuff. And
listen, we're so manly we take it in the other direction. We're not scared to talk Sheryl Crow.
That's a great song.
It's a great fucking song. You don't like that kind of music?
No, I don't. I just don't know.
What do you listen to personally?
Oh, man.
Kent?
Kent is one of my favorite bands. There's a Swedish band. I like a lot of Scandinavian music. I like a lot of metal, and I like a lot of, like, I love Depeche Mode and The Cure, shit like that.
So a lot of obscure Susie shit that people wouldn't be aware of, and then a lot of, like, classic shit like Susie and the Banshees.
Yeah.
I don't even listen to anything that's made before 1980 anymore. I've given
Black
up.
Sabbath?
No. I listen to some Black Keys. That's the only modern shit I'll listen to. And then everything else is old stuff. All I've been listening to is like Allman Brothers.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
Oh, you know, okay.
I love Allman Brothers.
Now, after 80. Okay, I see what you're saying.
Midnight,
I
thought
you might, did I say before?
I might have said before. Did. I'm sorry.
Anything after 1980, I'm like done. I'm done. Except the Black Keys. The Black Keys seem to have kept the soul.
And Honey Honey.
Yeah, that's right. They're my friends. Fuck.
And Everlast.
Oh, yeah.
And
that guy, too.
Man, the 80s had some of the best shit ever.
But I mean, like, modern bands that, like, you hear on the radio that are, like, big hits. Like, I can't get into
it. I don't even know. I couldn't even tell you.
I'm at a supermarket every now and then. That's the only time I hear music. I'm shopping. And I'm like, what the fuck is this? Is this something new?
It's Deadmau5.
Just some weird... No. It would be some weird fucking auto-tuned bullshit. And it's repeating itself over and over again. I'm like, is this the new shit? Is this popular right now? I feel like I'm some dude who's like an outlier, like comes into town every now and then to find out what the folks are up to. That's what it feels like. And as I get older and older, it becomes more and more apparent.
I can understand, like, especially, like, I mean, I like some, like, pop music, I guess, but I think it's hard for me to wrap my mind around certain things. Like, how does that resonate with people? Because for me, I love poetry and I love things that are so much more profound. And I think people are hungry for that. You know, I think, like, even though, like, a lot of the stuff that's, like, really big right now is very superficial and whatever, but, like, I feel like there is definitely, like, I think people are hurting and they want to relate somehow, so I don't know.
Well, I definitely think that, but I also think there's, like, a lot of music that some people just aren't even aware of.
Of course.
There's a lot of young kids today that don't even know what Whole Lotta Love sounds like when you hear it through, like, really good speakers.
Yeah, but the other day, man, I was driving down Hollywood and I seen these awesome fucking metalheads, and they were like carrying skateboards, like young kids, and they had like one had like a Death shirt on, and the other one had like a Motorhead shirt on. And I was just like, I literally rolled my window down, and my friend Allison was in, and I'm like, hey, I love you guys, and they were like, I love you too, with their skateboards. Like, you guys are just fucking long hair. Just
metal,
like,
will never die.
So cool.
Yeah, I thought metal was gone in the 80s. I thought,
yeah,
when
they're
like
listening to like obscure black metal and stuff, that's like, you know, it's, I don't know, it's cool. I like
metal
it.
Will never die. It never. Won't. That feeling will never die because there's always going to be shitty parenting. You're never going to get rid of metal because you're never going to make people become good parents. You're always going to have people just fun. Fuck! Yeah!
Slayer!
They just want to pound on the walls, fucking scream, and just curse their circumstances.
And turn crosses upside down.
Yeah, you're always going to have shitty parenting, so you're always going to have metal.
I did all that shit.
I bet that shit is on a computer.
I wrote satanic lyrics, like, every song had to be.
Come on, son.
It had to be about, when I was, you know, 14, 15, 16, all the songs I wrote were nuclear war,
what's wrong with
anti-religion, demons killing priests. And
did
stuff.
You do any love songs? Nothing about love?
No, not until, like, I was 19 or 20.
In your defense, though, when we were kids, when we were growing up, you know, we're older than you. You probably don't recognize that Soviet Union threat feeling. Did you ever have that threat when you were a kid? Did you ever feel that? See, when Eddie and I grew up, we were really worried that we were going to get in a nuclear war with the Soviet Union.
Really?
Everybody. Oh, yeah,
oh,
bro.
Bad?
Bro, everybody did.
Dude, nuclear war was such
a popular... It was so close.
Is that like,
it was so close.
When dinosaurs roamed the earth?
How dare you?
Right?
How dare you? Look, it's possible today, but back then it was like, not just possible. It seemed probable.
70s? Like late 70s? Is it?
Late 70s, early 80s. Everybody thought we were going to war with Russia. That was a fact. Until Ronald Reagan and Chernobyl effectively bankrupted the Soviet Union. That's one of the big things that brought it down. But when the Soviet Union fell apart... Then everybody took a deep breath and relaxed. But until that happened, there was always this constant threat that they were going to take us over.
World War III.
They were going to go. Yeah,
spies
they were.
Like
in,
us.
They were in Cuba. I mean, they were 90 miles from our border, setting up missile silos. I mean, there was a lot of shit that went down during the Kennedy administration. So there was that feeling, especially as technology increased. And then there was that Star Wars program that came on, where they were developing these fucking things to shoot missiles out of the sky. They'd be like satellites that were launched up with lasers to zap missiles out of the sky. That's like a significant part of the budget and a significant part of like what Ronald Reagan was talking about when they were talking about national defense. So we were worried about going to war with Russia. It was constant when we were kids.
Very popular song topic.
Seems fucked up, right? It doesn't even make sense to you.
It was a band called Nuclear Assault. It was the song's called Nuclear Death.
Nuclear Death. Nuclear Dick Suck.
Yeah.
Nuclear, what else? Oh, there's a crazy, I'll have to...
Nuclear Holocaust.
I'll have to put it up later. Have you seen that video, Brian, that the Holocaust survivor, or excuse me, the Hiroshima survivor made?
No.
He made a cartoon. You got to pull it up. I forget the guy's name. Something Ben.
Is it going to make me sad?
Oh, it's crazy.
I don't want to be sad.
Well, it's a cartoon that was written by a survivor from Hiroshima. and it depicting how it was, like what the experience was like for the people on the ground. It's fucked up, man. Because even though it's just a cartoon, I mean,
you guys have to watch it when after I leave.
You can't handle it. You don't want to watch it in front of us.
The less I know, the better. About it.
Really?
Sometimes, I don't know. I'll get sad.
It's kind of crazy. There's like 10 different countries or more that has nuclear weapons. I mean, how many have them?
7.
I don't know.
You just taking guesses over there, son?
Yeah.
I mean, we know Pakistan, India, the UK certainly
you
has
know,
them.
You know, in the Korean War, we don't made they? 18 Korean cities disappear.
We did?
18. That's why they fucking hate us, man. They're like, no more. No more of this bullshit. They just shut themselves off from the world. Can you imagine that? 18 cities disappear?
And it was no nuclear. It was all like, what, hydrogen bombs and shit?
I don't know the bombs they used, but they made 18, they leveled 18 cities in Korea during the Korean War.
Jesus
That's
Christ.
That's crazy shit. They don't talk about that too much.
Yeah, wrap your head around that. Try thinking about 18 American cities just disappearing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the whole game changed when you can fly. When you can fly and shoot shit from the sky, that's the game changer. And it all happened all at once. Fly, shoot things from the sky, and then almost right after that, nuclear bombs. It's pretty nutty when you think about that. Because there was no fucking airport or airplane wars just 100 years ago. In the early 1900s, they weren't fucking flying everywhere and dropping bombs on each other. They started doing that in the 30s and the 40s. That's when like they started getting better at rocketry, and then boom, 47, nuclear bomb, complete game changer. The whole thing takes less than 100 years to go from the airplane being fucking invented to dropping nuclear bombs on people is 100 years. That's nuts,
man. Have you ever tattooed a nuclear missile?
I never even thought of that.
Actually, yeah, I think I have.
I really never even thought of that until just now. That is a crazy number. That the invention of the airplane, it goes invention of the airplane all the way to nuclear bombs, and it's in less than 100 years. So in essentially one lifetime, we go from people stuck on the ground or in boats to someone who can drop a fucking nuclear bomb on your country. That's amazing. What a fucking weird jump in history that is. That might be the biggest jump in history that's ever been recorded. That, and I never even thought about it.
Man, there's nowhere to go, is there?
Oh, it's I mean, only I just... crazy.
Where?
Crazy is the only way to go.
I'm moving to Finland.
Finland? A lot of death metal there.
I love Finland.
What do you love about Finland?
What?
It's easier to just go to Alaska, probably.
Yeah, but Alaska. Finland's so much cooler. Yeah.
Alaska's gorgeous, though. We can make Alaska cool.
Yeah.
We just have to have more cool people move up there.
You're friends with the singer from Him, right?
Yeah.
You're totally into them. Huh? Are they from Finland?
Yeah.
They're Finnish. They're like it's almost like a satanic love metal band,
oh,
right?
Wow.
How would you describe him? It means his infernal majesty.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Someone needs to hold that dude down.
I think it was taken from like a...
hold that down. Make him take his pills.
He's spotting all over my couch.
Super poppy metal.
No, it's not.
But
no.
Like satanic love suicide.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
Yeah, get him to do hill sprints.
I like it. I actually like it.
Hill sprints,
yeah.
Maybe a sandbag workout would be good. Dig a hole for today. Today I want you to be happy you're alive. I want you to dig a hole, and then when you're done, I'm going to give you a cold drink. You're going to feel awesome. it's not bad. Why Finland? Why would you escape to Finland?
I love Finland. I used to go there once a year for a long time.
If the shit hit the fan in America, is that what you would do? I would go
to
Canada.
I was just saying it's like there's not really anywhere to go really when you think about it.
I think Canada is a move. At least you would find out what the fuck is going on for a little bit, maybe a couple of years of safety before you had to escape to
Antarctica. Let's go back to the Siberians. Like, do they even know about it? No, and guess what? They're just happy.
They are happy, but see? You wouldn't be happy doing, I mean, you say you might be adapted, but man, you would remember the internet. You would remember driving around your badass car listening
you know
to
what,
your favorite
Matt,
songs.
When I was on my book tour last year, halfway through, my house burned down and it demolished, you know, just gone.
Wow.
I used to live down the street from Danny, and I remember I went on the rest of the book tour, you know, it was like, I had a month or two after, and went through Canada, and I just didn't tell anybody, just kind of, you know, hey, I'm here, and I literally had, like, what I was wearing, and that was it, and then when I came back, you know, I told Kat, my assistant, like, I don't really want anything when I get back, I'm just going to live, I have a gallery next door to my tattoo shop, it's like an art gallery, and we had, like, an upstairs area that was for stock, you know, and, like, probably the size of your bathroom or something, and, like, she went and got like an air mattress from Target, which I was like, oh no, it's too much, you know. But it was so weird having to, or
it's too much.
Yeah, just it was easier just being as simple as possible, you know. And
you don't even want an air mattress. You're going super
minimalist.
Well,
she got it, so I got it. So then I slept on an air mattress, and yeah, it was.
Was this
awesome.
Like an exercise for you?
No,
like an exercise of letting things go? And
no, I mean, I never struggled with it like from the minute I got the news. But I mean, I was in a clear place too.
Even when I say exercise, I don't mean necessarily like a strain, but like a direct path that you chose to take, a direct path of a minimalist.
Decision.
Conscious decision.
Yeah. And I mean, I've done it like in other ways too. It's not a matter of depriving myself or punishing myself, you know, like
right.
I was like celibate for a year, like
oh Jesus like, Christ,
what? Hey, oh my God, blasphemy! You know, but like, but I'm just saying, it's like being as he leaves.
I think he's gonna go beat off.
No.
Oh, you don't know him. He's crazy. He's quick with it too.
Really? Celibate for
He'll
a year.
He'll be back in before we even need him. Yeah, that's great. Right? Ridiculous. Why would you do that?
I love how we. At the time, they were like. Like on purpose? I'm like,
well, first of all, I think that's way easier for a woman to do, not just physically, but psychologically, because there's more dickhead dudes. And dickhead dudes are dangerous, whereas girls that are a pain in the ass if you date them, they're very rarely dangerous. It's not like the weird feeling of
girls
intimidation.
Girls seem so much more emotional and annoying.
Hey, they can get emotional, that's for sure, but it's not like you've been beat up or anything. Like, I know women who have been hit by men, and then they're done with men for years. I mean, that makes sense, though, to me. Whereas a guy taking a year off of sex,
you can't find
a nice chick.
It know? Wasn't about like being reactive, like to something, like oh I got hurt. No, it was just more as making a conscious decision at the time.
Imagine if you had just a 1 year yeast infection that was a motherfucker.
I don't even know what
that
wouldn't
even
like.
Go out. Stop. Eddie's not even paying attention.
I know we've lost everybody.
Eddie,
now.
we lost you totally, man.
No, but you know it was just it's just like. I don't know.
Celibacy bores me.
It just shuts him off. He's like, I'm done. He just checked out totally. He's thinking of his new song he's working on. Working on jujitsu moves in his head.
I was looking at that naughty show thing. I've been looking at
that girl's boob this entire time.
It's pretty nice, right? It's pretty nice. For a mannequin, it's about as hot as he gets. She's pretty sexy. She's Brian's. All this stuff is Brian's. This is nothing to do with me. I don't want to be judged by this. He's a silly guy. He's got a lot of weird shit
on
the wall.
Did he really leave because I said that
word,
the C word?
No. He just has to probably smoke a cigarette or something.
Oh, okay.
He's an odd duck, but we make an interesting combination.
That's good.
He's a strange fucking dude. It's hard finding someone that strange. That also is kind of funny and knows how to run things.
Oh, nice.
So, we got a weird little relationship, me and that guy.
Yeah, but going back to the Siberians, like, they are happy.
You're just going to... What about nuclear war?
We're going to pass right over.
Oh, we're done with that?
Yeah, we're done with that. Okay. I think
I'm just fucking
I think the Siberians, like we were saying, I think they're only happy because they don't know about all the groovy shit we have today. They don't know about iPhones. They don't know the iPhone 5 is going to be out in a week. They don't know about that shit. They never drove. Yeah, see, you're all excited. Well, and you're thinking, I'm going to get my assistant to go get me one. You know, fucking Siberian dudes, they never drove a nice car, never listened to a good stereo. They only think they're happy. Out there chasing down beaver pelts. That shit's ridiculous. I think you could be way more happy today, like in a way higher, peakier sort of a way, but there's a lot of crashes today. There's a lot of, what does it all mean? But then there's like, wow, this is
consistent?
The most awesome time. Because we're not ready for that yet.
Yeah,
you know, it's too much work. Well, it's an amazing amount of work the whole species
and
is going to have
lazy.
To do. It's that, and they're also busy. You know, people have to feed themselves and pay their bills, and you get caught up in that sort of a work cycle where you're doing something with your time every day just in order to stay alive. And it's real hard to get on another path once you're on that path because you
it's just bad habits, I guess, right?
It's not even bad habits. It's almost just necessity. If you want to get by in life and you're a person who's, you know, you have a degree and then all of a sudden you have a job and then all of a sudden you have a mortgage and you have a family or whatever the fuck it is that you have. Is it X, Y, or Z? The beginning, or is it the full money? What do you have that's holding you back? But when you get to a certain point when you've accumulated like a mortgage, you accumulated a car lease and insurance and all this different shit that you have to pay for constantly, it's very, very hard to break free and get your shit together. It's very hard to do what you're doing right now. You got on the right path. You were on this like hell-bent for leather thing. Like it's either going to work or it's not going to work.
I love Judas Priest. Go ahead.
Boom. It just, you just went out there and it worked. It worked fantastic and amazing. But the reality is, for a lot of people, they got on the wrong track, and then they got to change tracks. That's when shit gets hard. The key is you got to get on that right track from the get-go. Like doing repair work on your life.
No, going back, you can always get on the track, I think.
You think so?
Yeah.
I think you can always if you're willing to just go for it. But yeah. Most people are not really financially able to do that. It's too hard. It's too hard if you have obligations.
Hmm. It'd be hard to live a life that was dictated by it. By, I guess, financials.
Yeah, it sucks. It's nothing ever gets done that way, you know, especially creatively. That's like the worst possible reason you could be creating art is like just thinking, I'm going to get paid. Just make, you know, all your illustrations be about how much money can I make off of this. Probably wouldn't even work.
No.
They'd come out all clunky and shit. And
insincere. Yeah. Like music.
Or bad comic book artists. Right?
Why does he laugh?
You know what I'm talking about? You don't even have your own microphone.
Bad comic book artist.
Yeah, do you remember when you were a kid and you'd get comic books and every now and then some new idiot was like drawing the Hulk and you're like, what is this guy doing? Like, the Hulk doesn't even look like this stupid.
I thought it was worse when like they like, remember Spider-Man when McFarlane used to draw it and it was like really cool, and then I guess McFarlane wanted to like leave or whatever and do his own thing. So they found somebody that just copied his own style of art.
Is that,
and that was really
Todd
weird.
McFarlane, the Spawn guy?
Yeah, yeah.
That guy?
Yeah, he wanted to.
Oh, we got to get Michael Jai White in here, man.
Let's do it.
Yeah, I gotta. I think I have his number, but let me check it with you. Yeah. Make sure it's the same one. I ran into him at a pool hall recently.
Yeah, he'd be great on the
show. I love
show.
That dude. And he was Spawn, if you don't know who that was, that movie. He played Spawn, which is a fucking badass movie. But those Spawn comic books are a perfect example of, like, that's just so outside the box, like, in comparison to, like, the shit that was around just in the 1950s and the 1960s. The really dark storylines and insane artwork. You know, that guy did some wild shit. And then it just went away. Whatever happened to that dude?
Aww.
He's so sensitive. I love it. She's going to get sad. Well, I'm sure the guy's rich as fuck. I mean, I think if he's gone away, it's on purpose. You know, I don't think it's
That's cool.
Yeah. Do you know who I'm talking about? The guy who made Spawn? Did you ever see the Spawn comic books?
Todd McFarlane.
I mean, I knew.
It's all before your time.
No, I know.
Do you read comics?
I like Terry and the Pirates.
you're in Tony Hawk's video game, aren't you? As an unlockable character,
yeah.
That Tony Hawk ride.
And they gave me an ass because I don't have an ass. And I was like, I remember they sent me like the CGI whatever thing, and it's like because you go in and they do the little scan thing or whatever. And I remember going like, "Whoa, you guys gave me like a badonkadonk."
That's good. I usually played as your character because I like playing girl characters for some reason.
Yeah, they gave me like my wristband, my hair is all rad, right. And like. It's cool. You played me? That's
awesome.
Yeah,
they had that skateboard where you stepped on. I didn't know. It wasn't my favorite Tony Hawk game, but it was cool seeing you in that.
Oh, man. That's awesome.
Yeah.
There's a weird emotional connection when you tattoo someone for, like, you are on them for life. You know, I know, like, for Eddie, I mean, that thing is, that's very important to him. He's talked about it. I mean, he tears up when he talks about his grandmother. Mm-hmm. What is that like for you to have all these people running around there that you have this, like, intense emotional connection with something that you've created on their body?
Oh, man, it's awesome. I remember one time I was driving to work, and this guy was crossing the street, and he's really, really tall, and I remember he looked like a businessman with a button-up shirt, and he's just walking across the street, and he had, like, kind of curly hair, and I was, like, staring at him, like, I wonder what that guy's deal is, you know what I mean? Like, what does he do? And I could totally draw him. He had those, like, interesting facial features. And then I go into tattoo that day, and he was my appointment, and I tattooed him, and it was the most...
What?
It was the most intense story of, like, living in fear and regret and just making closure with all these... With death, which is, I think, one of the harder subjects, I think, for people. And then I remember being done with it and driving back home and seeing him cross the street again to go to wherever his car was parked. And I was like, oh, it's like every person could be that guy. So I just always think about that. People, especially people who piss me off or annoy me or whatever. I'm always like, oh, like you just don't know, you know. So it's a cool connection, I think.
You might be the crazy link to the other dimension. It might be you. It might have been your magic that you used on Eddie there. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
You're connected to another synchronicity like that?
Yeah, all the time.
That's so bizarre.
You tattooed... You covered.
You got to talk into the mic, bro.
You covered a tattoo once. You talked about this before in a different interview where you covered a tattoo of a dude on his dick.
You know,
to cover
when
a dick tattoo.
It's just so funny because, like, when I think when the
it's true
when it first got on TV, you know, like they always ask you like the first like elementary questions. It's like, what was your first tattoo? What's the weirdest tattoo? And they're always like pussyfoot around like that question. Like, so have you ever tattooed, you know, like a weird area? I'm just like, just say it, you know.
Butthole? Have you done a butthole?
That's very recent. The girls are starting to do the butthole tattoos. Yeah.
No, that's awful.
that's awful?
Yeah, I mean, that's like...
Sacred ground.
No, it's physically... you know, take all the funny stuff out. It's like physically a very unhealthy thing to do, like the amount of toxins and whatever. But anyways.
Baby wipe.
Oh, so the actual, the more sensitive tissue.
It'd probably give you hemorrhoids immediately, I would imagine. You know?
You're going to have problems, dude. And then, you know, that area is really hard to keep clean for some reason.
You know, I would have to go with the Dr. Drew one on this one.
Yeah. I would think Dr. Drew might be right about asshole tattoos.
Listen, you crazy bitches. If Kat Von D is disgusted with asshole tattoos,
I'm not disgusted.
Get an asshole tattoo.
That's just attention seeking, and there's no art aspect behind that. You know,
well, maybe it's a beautiful job. Maybe it's like, you know, some roses in the center of them are all scrunchy and shit, and maybe it's just done to be like the most amazing rose. Yeah. Like your asshole looks like a rose.
Now, for the cock one, did you have to have it hard the whole time when you're tattooing it? Or, you know what I mean? Like,
when you talk to a woman, you shouldn't make that jerk off in your face thing when you're saying hard. You were actually doing that.
No, well, I could explain the situation because it sounds so much more perverted than it was. But, like, there's a guy who, you know, had been through some times and had gotten a lot of ghetto gang tattoos and stuff, and all like homemade, like like guitar string tattoo collection he had. And so we went through over the years and redid all of them, you know. And he had all these brand new tattoos, some of them covered and improved or whatever. And then I remember, I mean, I become friends with all my clients because you spend such intimate times, like it's like 3 hours of intense. We're not talking about like butthole tattoos. We're like talking about, like, you know, life and death and stuff, you
right.
know, and or whatever we talk about. And I'm always so heavy. I hate that. He was cool, and then he came to me very respectfully with his wife and was like, you know, I have this one tattoo, and now that I'm remarried and stuff, I'm no longer with Linda, and like, I was just, you know, I understand if you don't want to do it, it's fine, but it's just, you know, it kind of bothers the new wife.
So it was name on the dick.
The word Linda. Yeah, the
damn,
name Linda.
Damn, Linda won. And whoever so, Linda is, she won.
No, so like, so
most
like,
of the time
like,
it just said L.A.
No.
What did you change it to?
No, so he comes. I'm like, yeah, Lindsay? Man, it's cool, you know. And so like he comes with his wife. No, he comes with his wife. And so I was like, yeah, you know, like I'll put up like the partitioners, you know, that you see at the hospital and stuff so that others can't watch or whatever. And no, you don't get an erection during that time. I don't think you... Unless you're...
You have to spread it out like a butterfly, though? Like when you're dissecting a butterfly?
So I had him lay down, and then he whips this...
Tremendous thing?
It's so crazy. Like, it was like L-Y-N-D-A apostrophe S. It was like hours and hours.
Oh, apostrophe S? Linda's?
Yeah.
Hours and hours of tattooing?
I was just basically saying it was quite a large tattoo.
It was a large penis.
You took your time on it.
Just to clarify, the penis and the tattoo were both large.
God, I mean, it would be like you talking to an OBGYN about, you know,
8 inches?
To you. No, to you, it might have been like talking to an OBGYN. To a dude who's got a girl touching his penis, even under such inauspicious circumstances
on, as and there's like
covering over.
You know,
please,
and
whatever.
It's not, and it's not that way. I mean, it's like...
Oh, that's so silly. It's always that way.
No, it's not.
There's not 90% of it, maybe only 10% that way, but 10% is that way. That probably
so
got
when you go
through.
To your doctor and he touches your wee-wee...
20%.
My doctor doesn't 20%. Look like you. If my doctor looked like you and touched my penis, I'm sure I'd have a problem.
Yeah.
Well, I might have to beat off before I got to the office.
Stop it. You guys
that's
are
what
awful.
Dudes do.
That's
well, I wouldn't want to think that way.
Not every dude does that.
Oh my God,
most,
you're so crazy.
90%.
Hey, why don't you go online and look up
doctor
porn. Like doctor,
no.
The female doctors who make out with the men and have sex
stop,
with...
No,
I know what
no,
you
no,
need.
No.
You don't need medicine. You need sugar.
Oh my God, that's so sad. Don't say that.
No, it's not sad. It's just reality. There's nothing wrong with that. Dudes
oh, reality is very sad.
Well, it's not sad.
It
dudes
sad.
Would be massively attracted to this idea that a beautiful doctor is going to get intimate with them.
I'm not going to get into
it. But even just touching their intimate parts in a some sort of a doctor sort of a thing. Like, so what's wrong with your penis, Johnny?
Sorry I brought this up. I apologize. No, don't be mad at me, please.
All I'm saying is you're a beautiful woman.
It's just so
and
great.
If you were
a
doctor, a certain amount of your patients would most certainly love it if you examine their penis.
You know what? I don't think it's that way fair? So much anymore. And mind you, that this I did that tattoo when I was like, you know, I don't know, like 19 or 20.
When you're even hotter. I mean, that's,
oh, thanks.
That's
I'm not.
Worse.
What
whoa,
the hell is that?
Everybody's retarded today. Jesus Christ, Eddie.
That doesn't help your point. It doesn't help your point. This
how
is when
dare
I was.
You?
It was when I was 17. Oh, my God. That makes it better.
No, I was like a drunk back then, and I was totally out of shape versus now. Fuck.
Yeah, what you're
I
saying
way
is
better.
You're saying she looks worse.
No,
that's,
I'm just.
So
I was just. I wasn't saying that.
You can never say that to a girl.
I wasn't saying that.
I don't care.
So
I apologize.
So what did you turn it into?
I was trying to be funny.
It said
at the time he just wanted to get. Like,
it said
some,
Linda's. Did it say apostrophe S? Like Linda's dick. No. Wow. This is Linda's.
Even not anymore.
I wonder if Linda's still alive.
Fuck yeah, she's alive. She took Griselda Blanco's place in Colombia. Linda's down there running shit, capping motherfuckers and driving around on a 10-speed.
So what did you turn it into?
I think it was just like some tribal design or something.
A
back
tribal.
Then. But I mean, it was like you don't have that much work.
That's my Maori like, dick.
You guys stop.
Sorry.
She did some biomech on that.
It's crazy. All my work goes down to this.
Some Geiger
this
shit.
Tattoo.
Well, it
I want to get Tower 7
no.
on my dick.
Oh, we're not. Listen, we are definitely not saying that.
You
should have
just did the portrait of his new wife on top of that shit.
Yeah. With a chainsaw cutting Linda up. Like
a
chainsaw hitting Linda and blood splattering all over. So it's not Linda's. Fuck that bitch. Why didn't he opt to get the laser on the penis?
I don't know. You know what? I don't know. Back then, I don't think it was as stop. I'm like scanning my brain for any other tattoo reference I can jump to.
What's worse,
like,
a burning laser or needles?
Are you like, did you have to like pull on it and flatten it? Like, how did you
want
it? Like
a butterfly.
Yeah, well, a frog.
No. I mean, like, if somebody was sitting, like, if he was sitting here, then I would get dental bibs around all of it, and then I would just, oh, God, this is awful.
No, it's not.
In no way is it sexual.
Of course.
Well, for sure.
No, for sure.
We're not saying that.
No,
you got off.
Did you spit
on him? Started?
Oh, my God, the approach.
In the middle
of it. We're just saying
fuck, man, you guys.
It is a very extraordinary tattoo.
Did you guys
story,
just
right?
take your knuckles and do
I
got, that
I had to give him knuckles
that
for that
do.
One.
Well, what did he say?
He just said, God. Did you spit on it?
Oh.
Come on, man. That's hilarious. In the moment, it was just perfect.
That's like one of those Daniel Tosh moments.
I'm sorry. With the moment, you know? It was perfect. He's ridiculous. Yeah, look, it certainly was not sexual. I mean, it has to be insanely painful. You'd have to be like a really sick, but then there's a lot of sick fucks who are like really into pain, right?
No, I think he was more embarrassed than anything, and he was really
sure.
Again, like his wife was there, and it was a very, you know, I think he was almost. I don't know.
Man, I would have made sure if I was him to have sex right before, just in case.
Do you think
just,
that's Linda's go-to shit? That Linda just you got to tattoo my name on your dick.
That's
the only way this kind of work. she's got like a headboard with like notches and how many dudes have tattooed her name on their dick. That chick is what a gangster chick that chick must be.
Maybe it was his idea to get her
back.
Doubt it.
We
need to know the story. Do you still have his number? You guys are still friends, right?
No, I mean no,
don't call that dude up.
I'll email him.
No. Some things are
hello, you don't know me, but
but I know about your dick.
Just curious.
Yeah,
that's and you don't have to answer.
Have you ever been in the middle of tattooing someone and for whatever reason you just told them to get the fuck out of there? Like, I can't do you. You're giving me bad energy. You're annoying. You're crying too much. Have you ever had like to stop a tattoo?
Probably because of stench a couple times.
No,
right? BO or anything.
No,
like, damn.
Bad wiper.
You guys are awful. You do have to stop. No, I don't know. Let's see. There was one tattoo that... These don't sound like interesting stories to me, but they probably are. Twice there was two different people that... their wife went into labor during their tattoo. One of them was.
It's probably because they knew, the wife knew that you were tattooing the husband. And just
no,
the
it was
stress,
so awesome. Like, one of them, I remember, was like Mira Sorvino's
super hot tattooed chick all
husband.
Around.
No, no.
What's my husband doing?
No, this is a great story because it was very sweet, actually. It was Mira Sorvino's husband, and he was getting a pinup girl version of her tattooed on his leg, and then halfway through he got the phone call and we're like, oh, we'll just finish it another day. And that's sweet. I thought that was nice.
Oh, that is sweet for sure.
Yeah.
Is anybody ever come to you with some like crazy demonic shit and you're like, I just don't want to get into this?
I mean, I don't do any tattoos that really go against any of like my moral. I mean, you know, the crazy thing is nowadays it's so different than when it used to be. Like, I used to I just tattoo a lot of like, I don't, the people who are getting tattooed by me now are just more serious collectors, so I'm not really dealing with a lot of riffraff,
right,
or weirdness. So,
yeah.
But in the past, I'm digging deep into the past right now. So, yeah, I mean, there's sometimes people would come in and wanting to get tattoos that I don't necessarily agree with, I don't need the money, so I don't need to tattoo you if I don't feel good about it, you know?
If it's something creepy.
Yeah, even though it is my gift to the person, it's also a collaborative experience, so I have to feel good about it. So it also goes for, like, things that I don't think I'm good at. You know, there's certain things that I'm just not good at.
Because I would bet that you would be really good if you wanted to do, like, some Paul Booth type shit. You know,
I like all the evil
shit.
I like stuff like
you
that.
You do that kind of
I
stuff?
I mean, yeah, I like just all kinds of art, you know? I mean, I think some of the creepiest stuff is a lot of, like, the old Catholic artwork, and it's and the reason that it's so striking and it's so, it affects and moves people is because there's, like, it's very, it gives you fear. It's amazing. It's powerful. So I love that stuff. You know, I wear a lot of crosses and stuff, and it may not be for the meanings that most people assume it would be. I just like what crosses look like.
A friend of mine went to Italy, and while he was there, he took a photo of the ceiling of some religious place, mm-hmm, that the outside edge of the photo, the center is heaven.
Yeah, and
it's
like
all these
grave
angels. And the outside edge is all these demons, and they're shoving, like, pitchforks up dudes' asses.
It's crazy,
like,
it's really intense back then.
If
you look at, like, all the Hieronymus Bosch stuff, I mean, that stuff's, like, I think painted in the 1500s, 1600s, isn't, like, the Danish, I think he was. I mean, that shit was so ahead of its time.
Oh, yeah. It's crazy.
So
scary.
Weird.
And back then, I mean, they really believed that, too. I mean, when you were drawing those paintings of the demons skewering dudes in their assholes, like, people really thought that that was going to happen to you if you died and you went to hell.
Well, I think Caravaggio is one of my favorites, you know, from that era. And I think he was one of the first more influential painters of the time that started doing renditions of biblical stories and stuff, but painting, like, Jesus, and painting Jesus more in, like, a very human-like fashion, so it was even more real. Do you know what I mean? It wasn't,
right,
like this, you know, golden like aura and rays and wings and all that stuff. It's like he made him look like you and I, and so you would see, like, crucifixion pieces and stuff that, I mean, you feel it. It's like,
It's fucked up when you look at, like, all the old crucifixion images. It's
crucifixions,
like,
are crazy just to begin with, straight up.
It's a crazy way to kill somebody. I mean,
and
you just nail them to
around there.
Yeah, it's nuts. I mean, but in the old pictures, he was always, like, in pretty good shape, except for the holes in his arms. I mean, he wasn't all fucked
and
up.
He was,
but then
he
when
was
they 7% that,
body fat.
That's areolas.
That's not what I meant. What I meant was he was okay. He wasn't all fucked up, like the Mel Gibson movie.
Yeah.
But, you, like, the interpretation of it now, it's like if you go to see that Mel Gibson movie, if that's our version of what would have happened when he... I mean, that was horrific. I mean, that was really scary shit. Like, the beatings that they did to him, and they had
cruel
to have that fake body that was, like, bleeding in all these different areas. I mean, it was like a fake robot.
Well, think about
Jesus,
all, like, the medieval torture devices that have been made. Ugh. I mean, it's crazy that people even, like, invented or thought of things that, you know.
Yeah, the racks and just the different
Iron Maidens, all that.
Horrifying
cat
shit.
Cat piano. Have you ever seen that?
What
the
is
pictures
that
of the cat piano they used to have? This is not only, like, 100 years ago.
No, what is it?
Where they had, like, a bunch of cats lined up and had these things that would poke the cat and make them meow, and you played the piano.
Oh, it's so sad.
It was a cat,
Jesus. Yeah. Well, yeah, they didn't give a fuck about cats back then.
No.
The mortality rate for people. I do, too. I'd love my cat more if she would stop peeing in my fucking house.
How many cats do you have?
Dirty little bitch.
I only have one. I'm not a crazy cat lady. I just love my cat.
You want another one?
Is it hairless? Because I have a hairless cat, and they get kind of...
It's the opposite. He's got full hair, because your cat would just kick his cat's ass all the time. His cat's a fluffball.
Aw. that's cute.
I can't stop my cat from peeing in my fucking house. She just likes to not pee where the litter box is. She
this must be the most spots. Boring interview for you guys, like talking about.
Why?
What?
Well, I don't know. I
no, we always
guys,
go there.
What do you guys
we
talk
go
about?
Cats.
Listen, we
if
go.
If I wasn't here, what would you be talking about?
We might be talking about this. Seriously. No, it's not boring to us. You're not boring at all. Don't even say that. That's not what it is.
There's a cat
just,
clock.
We just
right there.
We talk about anything and everything.
There's a cat clock.
Yeah, the fucking thing goes off every hour. It meows.
Yeah, it ruins
for
the
real.
Podcast.
In 10 minutes, you're going to hear meow, meow, and you're going to go, what the fuck? There's cats all over the desk. Clearly, the guy's obsessed with cats.
Oh, yeah. You have a cat.
There's something
t-shirt.
Wrong with him. I don't know what it is.
I just like the lucky cat.
I don't know what the fuck's wrong with him, but he's okay.
Do you ever do lucky cat tattoos?
I've done one, yeah, before. A couple times. Back in the day. Yeah.
That's cool.
What did you first start off practicing on? Did you use pigskin?
No, I just tattooed people. But see, I was underage.
Yeah, me.
Well, no, I was no. I was underage, so I had a plethora of friends that were underage and couldn't get tattoos, so they were just...
Oh, wow. So you tattooed them? Where'd you get the needles?
Well, at the time, I had a friend that believed in me and who worked at a shop. I mean, you know, this was in the ghetto in San Bernardino, so it's like things were a lot different than they are now. And so, like, my first shop that I worked at, I remember it was called Sin City Tattoo at the time. It was, like, on Highland and East Street, which is, like, such a really gnarly part out there. I don't know if it's cleaned up, but I know there's a jail right down the street, but...
That's never good.
Yeah, there's, like, people getting robbed all the time except us because I think we were tattooing all the thieves and stuff, but... And back then, like, the wars between tattoo shops were so different, and it was all bikers, you know. Like, my boss, come to think of it, like, probably, that probably wasn't even his real name. I mean, I don't, you know, like, he was gnarly. I mean.
There was wars between tattoo shops?
Oh, yeah. Like, if you opened up a shop in a mile radius, you would get, I mean, I remember we'd get shot at. What is it called? Something cocktails with the fire and you.
Molotov cocktail?
Yeah, we'd get those through the windows.
Really?
Oh, yeah. It was crazy. It was rough.
While you guys were working, this would happen? Or does it happen
all
no
the time? I mean, I think my first... Yeah, I mean, it was pretty brutal. There's reasons I feel bad for my parents because they're like, oh my God, they had to like imagine all the things.
Wow.
And I was 16 when I first got into that shop. And I remember going, hey man, I'm underage. And he's like, he looked at my shitty portfolio of Polaroids that were blurry and crappy. And he was like, eh. And then I showed him my drawings and he goes, oh, okay. Yeah, you could do it. And I remember he used to say, you're going to fly far, far away one day. I'm like, no, I'm going to stay here forever. Like, see you later, San Bernardino. But,
wow. Yeah. You sold them down the river.
No. Awesome, you know, artwork. it was such a rough place to, you know, it was just a rough place for a 16-year-old girl to be at. But
San Bernardino's rough for your 60.
Yeah, totally.
It's rough for everybody. That's a tricky area.
Yeah, and I lived right down the street with a prostitute at the time. It was rough, you know. I mean, she... It was awful.
Were you buddies?
No. I met her because I had been working at a movie theater before that, passing out popcorn, and like she worked there, and I needed a place to stay next to the shop, and so I would pretty much take care of her kids while she would go in and out of her drug comatose. It was sad. It was very sad.
Wow.
Really hard. But I just knew that if I could be close to the shop, I could tattoo every day and practice, and I would literally go in and open the shop and stay till midnight. Like, you know, it was like 11 to midnight every day. I tattooed so much back then.
How long did it take before you were comfortable with the medium of skin, of like moving it around, pulling it to manipulate it?
Tattooing?
Yeah.
Oh, I was comfortable from the beginning, but that was because when I was tattooing unprofessionally outside of a shop, I didn't know what I was doing, so there was no bar to... I was like, oh, cool, you want to get a Misfit skull? That's awesome. And like, I would just tattoo it, and it'd be like, yeah. It was like 8 hours later, like... But then once I got to my first shop, I had to unlearn a lot of things. And I was like, what? There's more than one kind of tattoo machine and different needles and the cleanliness and the sterility aspect of it, all the important stuff. And so I'm just relearning it. But looking back, you know, it was actually awesome that I was brought up in that ghetto upbringing, because it definitely is the reason why I tattoo the style that I do, because, you know, gangsters get cool tattoos. They all get all the fine line black and gray stuff. And I did a lot of names and memory ofs and all that stuff. And old English lettering and lots of hyenas and gestures and all this shit.
Wanted to be a comic book artist when I was a kid.
You
so,
did?
Yeah, I drew a lot of
really good,
different
yeah.
wild shit.
Really?
But one of the things that I did is I drew on my friends. I would just draw on them. Like,
yeah.
I would draw fake tattoos on them.
Yeah.
Like, really intense, detailed fake tattoos that would take, like, hours.
Yeah.
And I did that because I was thinking about getting a tattoo.
Do you still draw?
Oh, yeah. I still draw, you know, all the time.
I want to see it.
Yeah, I'll send you some shit. Yeah. But my best stuff was when I did it every day. And that's when I was in high school. When I was in high, but I had one cunty teacher in high school. Who was an art teacher. It was just so negative. I didn't want to have anything to do with art anymore. I was like, this guy's just a downer. He just was always negative.
I failed my art classes in school. But a lot of it's just because I was too punk rock to follow instructions. But it's like I want to draw things the way they are. I mean, let's learn about like the history of fucking cubism or whatever the fuck, you know. But like when it comes to drawing stuff, I don't want to do 2-point perspective. I just want to do it as it is, and like I'd rather draw this stapler like as it is versus like
you want to do what you want to do.
You can't teach inspiration. Like, you know, I mean, it's like you can teach technique, but anyways, I would fail all these classes, and I'm like, oh, I don't need this shit.
Yeah, it's like you have an idea that you want to get out. You have your expression that you want to get out. And the problem is when someone says, no, I don't want you to get that out. I want you to work on that. Yeah. It's like you have these brief moments where these doors are open, where this creativity wants to run through. Yeah. And when you're sitting there, I mean, in one sense, it's good to be disciplined, and it's good to be regimented, and it's good to have good fundamentals. But it's also good to just let it go when you want to let it go. Like, you could learn all those things in your own time as far as, like, perspective.
I think there are some good art teachers out there, but I think that would be such a tricky thing to do because it's such a personal thing too, you know?
So yeah.
It would require a person that was...
You know, Doug Stanhope and I, we've talked about teaching comedy classes that you could never, first of all, you could never charge. Like, there's a lot of people that have like these comedy classes where they charge this ridiculous amount of money. You go through all this crazy bullshit with them and they pretend to turn you into a comedian. Mm. And we're like, it should be free. You can't charge. And you really can't give them any fucking advice because there's almost nothing you can tell them. I mean, that should be what the comedy class is.
You know what? I was last one of the last comedy shows I came to was right here.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
We're here all the time. As a matter of fact, we're here Wednesday night. It's Joey Diaz, Brian Callen, Duncan Trussell, and me.
Awesome.
And maybe Brian if you can come on, sweetie. It's a long story, deep story.
Okay.
We won't go into that. But it's an awesome place. The Ice House Comedy Club has been around forever. It's been 1961, I think. It's when it first was opened.
Yeah, it's like 50 years.
Yeah. I did my first set here in 94.
Really?
Yeah, when I first moved here from New York.
Comedy's 94. Hard, man. There's a whole
it is and it
thing
isn't.
To it. Well, I mean, I just think it's like, it's not anybody could just go up there and tell a story. I mean, some people are really good storytellers, but I think there's like a whole thing to it, you know?
Well, you know how for you, when you sit down and you draw, you know, it's like, you know how to fucking draw. You've been doing it forever. But if you had never done it before, or practiced it before, or really forced your hand to move in the way that you want it to in order to create this image, it'd be almost alien, almost impossible. Yeah. For a lot of people, they look at the artwork that you do and it's almost incomprehensible to wrap their head around how someone could recreate something like that. How can you do that? How can you do that? It's the same thing with comedy. You do it enough times, or jujitsu, or music. You do it enough times, and it just becomes it becomes you. It becomes you.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's hard to get there, but not really. I mean, it is and it isn't. It's like Joey Diaz said it best. He said, comedy is the hardest, easiest thing you'll ever do. Because it's fucking really
hard.
It's easy
hard if you're good at it.
Yeah, to get it to where it's easy.
I just can't imagine drawing without an eraser. For a tattoo artist, that just seems to me like the scariest thing in the world. Because I've never drawn something that I didn't erase something on or change or wish I did something different. And is there times when you're tattooing, you're like, shit, I have to now work around this.
Well, you also got to think about the time you're putting in as opposed to the time she's putting in. Yeah. I mean, she's doing like, you know, you're probably tattooing 8-10 hours a day, right? How many hours a day are you doing this?
Well, nowadays?
Or were you?
Well, when I first started, oh yeah, I mean, it was so many hours. I didn't have a day off until... My first days off, I started like 3 or 4 years ago. I started taking Sundays off.
Wow. Did you ever have any idea that you could have some sort of reality show type success like
this?
No,
I haven't watched TV.
I mean, but was there any idea that you could have this kind of success? I mean, did you ever think that, did you have this in your head that you would have this many people?
No, I just see like things in the, like I see things differently. I just see things like, oh, there's an opportunity. Or, oh, that, you can make this out of that. You know, and I think a lot of people... maybe just blind themselves to that. So I don't know. I never wanted that. It's not. I actually was.
But it didn't exist before.
What,
it didn't exist.
Show?
Celebrity tattooist didn't exist. I mean, the Ed Hardy type dudes. There was a few names.
Yeah, it's not the same.
You know what I'm saying? The Paul
Booth guys.
Of course,
I never in a million years imagined this stuff. I mean, if you knew like where I was born and how, where I come from, it's like totally different than. It's the opposite of this stuff, you know. But I don't know. It's not. I don't know. I'm not that impressed by that stuff. It's cool. It's cool, and I'm very appreciative. It's like awesome. Like, oh, I get to do more of this stuff, you know, but
Well, when I talk about it, I'm not saying it in terms of like your common perception of how people view success and look at her, she's on TV.
Yeah.
It's not that. What I mean is how receptive people are and how much resonance your work is having on people.
Never in a million years would I imagine that. Yeah, I mean, I was like, you know, like I was like the weird girl or whatever, you know, like the fact that maybe that's why I'm bad at compliments and stuff, you know, so right. It's like I'm just not used to that still.
Yeah, that's got to be kind of awkward, right? But it's a really fascinating thing
that
you've done.
But now that I'm not like how he thinks I used to be, I guess it's like...
What?
You're like, oh, that's when you were hotter back then.
See, dude, I told you. Yeah. She's still riding on that. We let that joke... We let that joke fly over our heads, but she's still holding on to it.
That was
man.
Actually a compliment.
By the it's way, like a hot lava rock in her arms burning her soul.
No way.
By the way, look how beautiful her shoes look today, Joe.
Why? Do you like shoes or something?
I'm just kidding.
I sort of came from Disneyland, so I'm like,
those are pretty cool.
There was such a stigma. Even I'm guilty of it, too.
Do you like shoes or something?
No. Oh. No. Well, I'm not a freak.
I love shoes. Okay, go ahead.
I'm a normal guy.
You know, usually growing up, you think tattoos, like for me. Tattoos look, my uncles had tattoos that, you know, I'm sure that influenced me. But, you know, generally girls that got tattoos, they generally weren't hot.
Right.
Generally.
Yeah.
And I can imagine the amount of guys that were thought like, damn, she's so hot. She's ruining herself with the tattoos or something. And mm-hmm. and now look at her now. You know what I mean?
Most guys wouldn't think that, though. That's an illusion that girls have, I think. You know, it's most guys. You'd be amazed at how little we give a fuck about like lot of shit that you have.
No, I think it's just more a different generation. That's all.
Guys are into body shapes.
You changed the perception single-handedly, though.
Oh yeah, without a doubt, you definitely threw a monkey wrench into the whole idea of what's hot.
And there was one movie
because you took it deep.
There was a movie with Will Ferrell, I think. It wasn't like an extreme comedy, but the love interest, and they never really addressed it in the movie, had a sleeve. You know what I'm talking about?
Right.
The love interest had a sleeve, and I think it was fake or whatever, but they never talked about it. She was just a chick who worked at a bakery, and Will Ferrell, I think that's what it was, like, fell in love with her or whatever. And
that never existed.
Yeah, man, all the movie offers I've ever gotten are, like, hooker, drug dealer, vampire, what else?
Zombie.
Like, random goth chick. yeah, it's never...
Club scene.
The cute
right?
chick that dates Will Ferrell or whatever. That's funny.
Yeah, it's weird how the perception of what tattoos are over the last just couple of decades. Like, when I was a kid, no one had sleeves. My friend's dads never had sleeves, you know? That's weird. But then, you know, today it's so common. It's I mean, what are the how much more common are tattoos today than when we were kids?
It's huge.
Huge.
And
you got to talk into the thing, man.
You know, Victor, a really good friend of ours, has... a son, his name is Tori, and Victor has sleeves. He has a lot of tattoos, and his son is 11 or 12 now. And the last time I hung out with him, his son was drawing on himself.
Yeah.
For the whole night, he had, like, just marked. He felt, like, really cool because he was, like, his dad. So that would be, for sure, he's going to get tattoos. It just seems like he is.
Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah.
Kids are always more open-minded and stuff because they're not, like, tainted by, like, society.
But he would get the tattoos because he thought it was cool because his dad, because him and his dad have an amazing relationship. There's no lack of love in that kid's life.
Yeah,
from what you know. I'm just kidding.
Whoa, no shit. She just hit you with the real son.
Damn.
It is true, though. His dad's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Victor's a great sweetheart of a guy. Yeah, that kid probably, well, it's a weird rite of passage thing, too, for a young man. It's like when some young kids want to smoke, and they're, you know, they're not around their parents. They want to have that cigarette, so they can pretend to be an adult.
Yeah. You know? If they have friends that smoke, like older friends or something.
Yeah, that. Or if they see their parents do it and they sneak them out and they get them together, you know? That's what I did when I was a kid. We'd sneak out booze. Saw our parents drinking. So I'd find booze in my parents' house and sneak it out into the woods. And we would do it because we'd pretend to be like adults, you know? It's not really like we wanted to get drunk. We're only at like 11, you know? But we, you know, kids do that. They
what the hell's wrong with me, man? My parents were so square and like...
Sounds like your parents were just super disciplined.
Yeah, so where did I get it from?
Maybe it's just a reaction to that. The fact that you had to practice all the time and you were very, very regimented and disciplined and you just became a wild sort of thing because of that. Because of the fact that you were so boxed in by rigid sort of...
But I wasn't wild. I mean, I looked crazy, but I just loved punk rock. It's probably just music, the influence of music, I think it was. I was like, there's something, there's more out there.
Yeah, if you're totally into punk, you're going to get some tattoos. Eventually.
You're going to get something.
Something.
Yeah.
If you're really into punk.
That black flag thing, you might get that.
I just barely got those bars tattooed. Bad boy. Like this last month. I was like, I can't believe I haven't already.
The black flag bars?
Yeah.
Oh, really? You just got them? Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
Like, yeah.
That's nice.
And you're like, oh my God, I forgot that one. Shit.
No, I was like, how did I not have that already?
Do you, I mean, you said you covered up some that were on your left arm. Are you done covering them? Or do you look at your
leg? No, I have like a few that like one on my leg that I started lasering, but it hurts so much. And also I just, again, time consumption. It's harder for me to get tattooed because I'm busy either doing them or doing all the other stuff I do. So it's like, but yeah, there's a few that I think I would, I mean, just for the sake of making more room or something, like, you know.
Making more room.
Yeah, like,
isn't that crazy though?
Maybe the spin doctors will become popular again.
Do you have any bands that are just like totally whack that are tattooed on you?
No, I only listen to rad music.
But I mean, at one point in time you loved them and now you're like, oh, I can't believe I tattooed those guys on me.
I think I've always liked rad music. I've always been cool.
You've always had good taste. So with the ones that you're thinking about lasering off, you just have some ideas and you need some space for it.
No, I mean, there's just some that, like, I don't have regrets. Like, I could live with them or without them, you know? But I think, like, I don't know. Like, I haven't had that many boyfriends in my entire life, you know, because I'm always...
Cue the violin, Brian.
No.
Do you have a violin?
No, I'm just saying
that. No, you got to be quicker with that, Brian.
Yeah, you got to be ready with that violin, sound effects? Son. That's terrible violin.
No. No, but, so, you know, like, I've gotten tattoos for...
Maybe the Hulk music?
The Hulk, yeah.
The Hulk walk away music?
Humming.
Oh, that's what it was? Yeah. Wow, that's a terrible... Dun, 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 dun. You know, the end of the...
Yeah.
Sorry.
I'm just hearing you guys.
I'm sorry. So, you haven't had that many boyfriends?
Yeah, and I mean, I think I've gotten, like, some tattoos for whatever those relationships in the past. And, like, my first tattoo was a J and whatever, and I still love it. But I think there's, like, two portraits I'd like to... get lasered off.
It seems like for you, I mean,
oh,
correct
Jesus,
me if I'm
stop
wrong,
with that music. It's
but
awful.
It seems like, to me at least, if I had to guess, it's probably very difficult for you to enter into a relationship because you seem to be like one of those all-in sort of girls. Like you fall
yeah,
in love with someone
nothing.
And yeah, all or nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're ready right away, all in, all or nothing, and then it doesn't work, it's nothing. And then just like, it's
no,
hard
it's
to
not,
make that. It's hard to pull that trigger.
What do you mean? What,
it's hard trigger? To pull that all or nothing trigger.
I don't know any other way.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, it seems that that's your style.
Is that bad?
No.
Bad?
Oh. No, it's, but it's hard. It's
in
not bad. Which because you look, if
I
you
think
find
it's hard
the
to
right
make
person,
a connection with people that are like true are true to themselves mm-hmm. and to, like most of the time people when you meet them they're putting like putting out like a perception of themselves as how they would like to be seen so you're already
right.
going through like two layers right there of what the person really is
and or then, sometimes they might even be bullshitting themselves
of course,
how they'd like
of course.
To be
yeah. So like whereas I'm not by any means perfect but I'm pretty much like I talk a lot I talk about the same stuff like this is the same conversation I'd have with like my homie it's like
right.
you know what I mean like it's kind of what you see is what you get you know and I've only met very few people that are that way and so I think that oftentimes you tend to fall in love with this perception versus the person and so in my case sometimes I feel like it tends to be intense in the beginnings and then I'm continue being on fire and then maybe it's not so much that way but I'm also a very emotional person I'm like very you know till the bitter end.
Well, sometimes people can bullshit you for quite a long time before you really get used to what they're really like.
Yeah,
and
totally.
So 3 or 4 months in you're like,
three or four
what
months
am I
is
doing
so
here?
Short of a time, I think.
It is a short amount of time.
Yeah.
It is. But you could find out everything about someone in 3 or 4 months of constantly being with them. They can only hide their character for so long, which is, I think. But
yeah.
I always wonder about like dudes like Paul McCartney. Paul McCartney's a bad motherfucker. But then you'd hear that ex-wife talk about him. You ever heard of the woman who had lost her leg in a motorcycle accident?
No.
She's demonic. I mean, the way that lady would talk about Paul McCartney was like the most terrifying thing. Like it was
what
just,
did she say?
She was ridiculous.
I don't want to hear about that stuff.
Yeah, you don't want to hear it.
Super, I'm like, what did she say? Are you
super
kidding?
Negative.
People want to hear.
Well,
super
you,
negative about if anything ever happened to her. She has information hidden, secret places about him. I'm
boring.
Doing the best to protect my husband. She was like just a crazy, evil person who wanted stacks of cash from him. And his dumbass didn't get a prenuptial. And he got roped in by a woman pretending to be something she wasn't. And then once he had a kid with her, she just turned on the hooks and... fucking ripped her chest open and a monster flew out and that was her and that was all the interviews after that you would listen to the interviews and you go how did he not see this coming man how did
yeah.
he not know that he was with a crazy person a vindictive
well, sometimes you want to believe in I think people's ability to be something you know
yeah for
I
sure
mean,
Well, also, he came out of a long-term relationship with Linda McCartney, who was supposed to be an amazing person, like really nice, sweet woman. By all accounts, they got along great. So he's probably his ideas of what relationships were like. He really thought that's what you did. You know, you find someone, you're just nice to them, they're nice to you. And this is just the way she really is. He didn't even look for all the clues of craziness.
Maybe. I mean, who knows? You know, I mean, I always think it's like, unless you're in it, you really don't know what's going on, you know? And I mean...
Right. That's why you speculate. It's fun. And you talk shit at the same time. It's great. It's good times. Speculating and talking shit on how Paul McCartney got roped in.
Yeah, I don't know.
So you haven't had that many boyfriends because of that? Because you're
No. I think I haven't had that many boyfriends because I'm always in long-term relationships, I think is what it is. What?
Oh, he's like, so you haven't had any boyfriends?
Say it that way. No. Damn, man, you're making me sound all creepy.
No.
The fuck? What did he come up with that?
I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't think that.
Thank you, Brian. Thanks for having my back, homie.
No.
So anyways,
now the music needs to go on.
I know, like, bow, chicka, bow, bow.
Girl getting cum on her tattoo again, because it's a really important story.
So, you ever been to the Olive Garden?
That is the most ridiculous shit ever.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, love is a funny thing.
It's hard as fuck. But you got to find the right person. That's what it is. I mean, the right person for you might not be the right person for somebody else. And finding that perfect interaction with people, it's almost impossible. It's so hard. It's so hard to line up, especially for a chick like you, because you have to have some serious bad motherfucker. You can't just have some regular dude. No,
I think it's
difficult.
All about the heart, really, to be honest with you. When it comes to the amount of solidness that I guess I require.
Yeah, but for a dude to not be tweaked by you being all hot and famous, covered in tattoos and all wild, crazy, famous tattoo lady.
That's a
tough
one for a guy. You got an
obstacle.
You need a Braveheart dude.
Yeah,
you need
some Maori warrior type character. You know, it's like, it just seems.
I think I would just want to be with somebody who can get it, you know, and I could relate to or understand.
It's
you
a
know.
Little chubby and is a comic or something.
He's putting himself out there. That's what he's doing.
That was my creepiness.
I like intelligence.
Yeah, women like Jennifer Lopez, she's doomed to a life of betas. She's going to have to date these beta men and buy them cars, and they'll be younger than her, and that's it. That's just the way it goes from now on. There's just no... Because to be a badder motherfucker than Jennifer Lopez, good luck. Good luck, fella. Who the fuck is? Is there Brad Pitt and a couple other dudes, the only people who can date her. Her dating pool is down to five people, and most of them are married already. It's good luck. But she's got to go the other way. I think you're going to have to go that way, too. You're going to have to get some beta, manservant-type dudes.
No, I couldn't handle that.
I'm telling you, that's why I want to bring Brian into your life. This shit would be perfect. He would worship you. He would set up your website.
Set up your website.
Are you on the podcast?
He could really spice up your Twitter background.
Right.
Aww, he can make shit happen.
No. Yeah, no, I don't know.
That's funny shit.
Hey, it's the fucking, that's the big, I mean, if there is one dilemma that people find in life that's most prevalent in our society, it's finding the right person. It's probably the biggest dilemma that anybody ever faces. When you're growing up, especially, I mean, you're always like, man, if I could just find the right girl, if I could just find the right guy. For everybody, that's the number one dilemma.
Well, it's more just working on yourself first, and then you put yourself in a position, you know what I mean? Because I know that in the past where, you know, it's kind of like the hippie stuff we were talking about earlier, it's water seeking its own level, and I feel like I look back at my last, you know, relationship that was an awful mess. It was a part of me feels like, oh my God, I got duped or something. But then another part of me is I created this to a certain degree too. If it's there's red flags that I failed to see because I wanted to believe that it was something else. And people do that all the time. So it's more okay, well, at the end of the day, what's wrong with me? You know what I mean? What was my part in it? What could I have done to not, you know, obviously that does not discredit people's shitty behavior. You know, obviously
right.
Some people suck and stuff, and some people are really good liars and whatever. But I think,
but you have to grow as well.
Totally.
You know,
yeah. I think it's more important to put yourself in a situation where you can be receptive to a healthy relationship. You know, when I was depressed, I kind of gravitated towards other people that were also sad, and that doesn't help. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I think as far as what you're saying is finding somebody at a level or whatever. Yeah. There's that nice understandability. You know, I can talk about things that bug me that may not bug like a regular person or whatever, but it's more like the connection of the mind, you know? I want to be inspired by somebody who's equally as driven and equally like wanting to create, and like that shit drives me crazy, like when someone's into it, you know? Whether you're a busboy or a fucking famous
musician. What I'm saying is you're fucked. You're never going to find a dude like that.
So I read poetry, and then why do you think
the crazy thing is...
I said the C word earlier, Jesus.
Did you really? How dare you?
Anybody dating like a Jessica Alba, that dude has to deal with the fact that she's really good friends with a lot of A-list celebrities, right? So that's what's running through a guy.
This is the Siberia thing, because it's like all those things are mentally generated ideas of what's important or what's good. Like I don't see it that way. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying I could fall in love with anybody, but like if it's your mind or your soul, whatever you want to call it, like I could fall in love with that. It really does not have to do with what the world's perception of you is.
I mean, yeah, you say that, but you're going to find out how much that gardener makes and be like, bitch, you can't even take me out to dinner. What the fuck kind of relationship we got going on here?
Nah, it's not that way. Most of the time, I have like issues with dudes paying for my stuff.
Do you really?
Yeah, I think it's probably because I was... My own set of issues is like, you know, I'm not a feminist or like I don't consider myself anything, but like I think... you know, just growing up poor, I'm always like, oh, I can do it myself. Like, don't
right
the door for me. Like,
yeah, no, that makes sense. I would hate to be a girl and have dudes buy me dinner and then expect something from me.
No, if it's a sincere gift, it's such a difference, you know. But
right.
I also like, I don't know. Yeah.
You're going to be single for a long time, kid. It's not going to work out.
Maybe not.
Debbie Downer, damn.
I'm just saying.
I don't know.
You're too much of a bad motherfucker. It's really going to be hard.
There's some bad motherfuckers out there.
You know how many rock star friends she's like really good, mm-hmm. close to?
Yeah, you get those guys alone. They all fall apart.
No, that would intimidate some guys, though. Guys would be like, damn, she's best friends with him, you know.
That would That's be the most the saddest thing is if you're like really into a rock star and then you started dating him and he was just a whiny bitch. You'd be like, really, man?
You stop liking the music.
I thought your fucking music was awesome. Imagine if you started dating Mick Jagger and just found out he's a cunt. Just Mick Jagger's a fucking dumb cunt. You're like, what? God damn it. That has to be the hardest for a girl. Date a rock star and find out he's a dork. That would be the hardest shit ever.
Breaking up with a rock star, huh?
Mick Jagger.
That would crush the rock star.
Fuck yeah,
that would crush him.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that would be devastating.
Rock stars don't get broken up with.
Yeah. They do, though. They get dumped.
Yeah.
Especially in this day and age. You know, I think in the protected days of the 60s and the 70s, like, I read some shit about Hendrix, man. I got so bummed out because I'm a huge Hendrix fan. And I was reading an expert excerpt from this book about him. And one of them was like about Jimi Hendrix beating the shit out of his girlfriend. They're like, Jimi Hendrix would just smack around.
But again, we weren't there. That's the thing.
It's true.
You know?
You're right. Standing up for woman beaters. I like it.
No.
Great culture. Powerful Jamie Kilstein.
No. Just because, I don't know.
No, you're absolutely right. You're right. The guy was a band member. He could have been a jealous bitch. He's the guy who's in the band with one of
she
the greatest fucking guitars.
She could have put like acid guitar. In his coffee.
It might not have ever happened.
That deserves a beating, I think.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
Please, that's what he likes. A little acid in his coffee.
No.
But, I mean, who knows what really happened. But reading about that, it was like, wow, that's so... Like, you read, like, some tweets that, like, Chris Brown makes, and he's a fucking moron. He makes these tweets, and everybody hates him, and they go after him, and then he deletes these tweets.
What does he say?
Just no, really stupid shit about... Well, he's, you know, after the whole Rihanna thing, he would, like, get in arguments with people about him beating up women.
Yeah.
And they were like, really... He's a moron. So they were, like, really gross kind of tweets. But this that didn't exist. Like in the Led Zeppelin days,
yeah.
You know, there was no Twitter.
Yeah,
you know,
there's no internet.
Like, if they had a podcast or an internet radio show where we got to hear them argue about chicks on the road, you know, and you'd be like, oh, you guys are gross. That would suck. That would suck. It's like the mystery was so much better than, you know, it's like Robert Plant, the mystery of Robert Plant. I remember growing up being a huge Zeppelin fan. I mean, I barely knew 10 words that Robert Plant said in an interview, you know? I don't think I heard any interviews. I just knew, you know? I just knew Black Dog was the shit, you know? Yeah. I just knew. Whole Lot of Love was like the greatest song in the history of the world. That's all I knew. I didn't know anything about Robert Plant. He might be annoying as fuck. Would you imagine you've dated Robert Plant? He just turns out to be a total prima donna. just annoying and stupid and always insecure and wants everybody to kiss his ass. Like, fuck, really? Damn. It's like when Mel Gibson was screaming at that ex-girlfriend, shut up and blow me! And he's like yelling on her answering.
Maybe she was talking so much. I don't know.
I'm sure she was. But it was like, we never got a chance to see someone so human before that was like a fucking Mel Gibson. I mean, he was Braveheart. And then all of a sudden he's screaming to some scammer, some Russian scammer chick who's robbing him and recording all of his phone calls. Shut up and blow me! And you're like, wow. Like, this is Mel Gibson, man. This is the Lethal Weapon dude. What the fuck?
Actually, kind of just like that character in Lethal Weapon. Wasn't he like a crazy, you know?
Yeah, but he was kind. He was crazy, but kind to women. What was wrong with the crazy, first of all, is he was scary as fuck to a woman who had his child. Like, he couldn't even keep it together to this woman who had his child. That was the scariest thing. It's like he had a baby with this person. She's watching his baby, and he's fucking screaming bloody murder at her. He's a scary dude, you know? Didn't that freak you out, the Mel Gibson shit?
No, I don't even know nothing about it.
Fuck about Mel Gibson.
No, I just, it's like, I don't know. It's just,
you didn't hear that thing when it was in the news?
No, I really don't watch television. Yeah.
I like knowing the human side of people. I love reality shows. I actually do. I like Mob Wives and Mama Drama. Forget about it. Watch Mama Drama.
Mob Wives. Is Mama Drama the one with the little girl?
Mama Drama, they take six sets of mothers and daughters like that party together. They're like 43 and 22.
Oh, God.
51, and they put six couples, half of them black, half of them white, in a penthouse in Vegas, and they get drunk every day. It's hysterical.
Wow.
It's great. So it's genius.
Yeah, there's some fun in reality shows, but, you know, it's really like mindless distraction. That's the problem. You don't get anything out
of it. Sometimes you need that. Sometimes you need to...
Do you like that?
I like not thinking about shit and watching South Park or watching some mind... I want to be mindless. It's like meditation.
Hmm. I don't mind mindlessness if it's in the form of comedy, like South Park type
shit. It's nice knowing how people really are. Like, holy shit, Mob Wives, Chicago season.
People aren't really like that.
They're not?
No, I mean, I think you're put in a hyper... It's such a...
Yeah, yeah. They put the alcohol, they put, make them live together.
It's edited and produced. Yeah. And
I totally believe that.
It's not really...
However... But there really are people that are acting like that on camera.
Because, and that's what's fascinating. I get that, yeah.
I love it.
It definitely doesn't inspire
I TiVo that shit. Sundays and Mob Wives comes out? Are you kidding?
It's so stupid. The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, I watched the Real Housewives of Miami ad the other day, just the ad, and I cringed and I just grabbed the remote control and shut it off quick. Like, just thinking that these women could enter into my life somehow or another through me watching them on TV, that somehow or another they could make their way into my life and be annoying and yapping at me, and they were hitting each other and screaming at each other. You know, in Miami, you got to do this and you got to do that. Yeah. Oh, come on.
I don't watch that show. I don't watch all reality shows, just a couple.
But is that
there's got to be fighting and violence. If there's not fighting, I don't want
to
watch it.
Is that a weird position for you to be in a reality show when you got a very different sort of a reality show, because it's obviously a reality show about your artwork. I mean, it's about your expression. It's about
originally
skill.
We had a docuseries. It was a very formatted show. It was like where the premise was like you would learn the story about the story behind each of the tattoos and the interaction between tattooer and client, and then. That was 80% of the show, and then 20% of it was our own personal life stories, you know, that were somehow connected to tattooing. And then as the show went on, I can't believe we were on for so long, you know? And
How many seasons were you on for?
It's weird because contractually it's different. We were basically on for 6 or 7 years.
Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah.
Well, it's a great premise for a show.
Yeah, but then there's so many stories. Warping into more, it flips. So it's like 20% art and 80% drama, and most of it was produced. Hence, how that girl got on the show. Which I don't know her. You know, and that's how
it was fake.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, why do that? See, that's Hollywood idiots. Because I think personally, first of all, I'm a fan of tattoos and art.
Yeah, of course.
And
so
just having a show where it was just you produce it, you dictate what's going on. on. Just about tattoos and art. It seems like you could do that, though.
Yeah.
And people would enjoy it, and it would be pure.
I mean, I would watch a time lapse of, oh, my God, that's old footage. Look how funny.
Why shouldn't you do it that way? I mean, it seems like someone would be an idiot to try to do it any way other than your personality. Why would they not
well,
do
you know,
it
I think, sadly, it's the way... It's the demand, you know what I mean?
But it's not the demand.
It is the demand because what it is, it's all based on money and numbers for the network. So whatever situations and drama show peaks and they have these tests that they run, that's what they... And I don't believe in it.
I think, can't disagree more with you. Well, and hey, listen, this is why.
Listen, I would... I'm on your side.
I know you are.
But the way that the network sees it is what's going to generate more money, and it's going to be viewership because they can sell advertisement.
They're wrong about that, though.
I know they are. Of course they're wrong. That's why they've killed. I mean, they played it out.
Well, what they're doing is they just go with the box. They go with what's worked before. This is the formula. You know,
get bored.
Here's the wacky neighbor. Go. You know, I mean, that's the formula. I mean, they don't. It doesn't have to be that.
I wish we had a wacky neighbor.
You can get a wacky neighbor. Brian, you want to be a wacky neighbor? He would be awesome at it.
Give you the wacky roommate.
He's a breakthrough talent, I'm telling you.
He could
really knock you guys over the top. bring the ratings to the top. It's just people enjoy people who are really good at things. I mean, that's really what it is.
Yeah, but people also enjoy train wrecks, which is why you love the housewife shows.
But they don't only enjoy
that. I don't think they only do, but I think that there is definitely people... not everybody, but some people get lost in that.
They do, but it's not like, look, there's a lot of dumb shit on my DVR. There's plenty of dumb shit. I watch dumb shit both for escape and for material because there's some funny shit in it.
Yeah.
But it's also like a lot of like really intelligent shit on my DVR too, like documentaries and that Morgan Freeman show Through the Wormhole. Fucking amazing show. But it's like the same people watch both things. And I think that a well-produced version of your show that's you decide what the fuck goes on. You decide. You're the artist.
Yeah, of course.
You talk to these people about their ideas. You create their tattoos. And stop fucking around with all that fake shit.
Oh, hey,
and it would be beautiful.
I would love that. Yeah.
Those dumb motherfuckers. So leave Kat Von D alone, you stupid fucks.
No, I just think...
You Hollywood hacks.
You just got to cut out that middleman.
You cookie cutter cunts. You don't know what you're doing. Leave her alone.
Yeah, that's it. You tell them.
Yeah, those fucks creating some fake nonsense. Yeah. Silly bitches.
Yeah, I ended up just filming, I secretly filmed a documentary for the last 3 years, and we're actually finally pretty much done with it. And it's awesome. It's so freeing, you know, to be able to do it that way and having the control and stuff. And I wish I could have given as much as I gave in my documentary to the show, but I really couldn't because it wasn't mine, you know, and...
You should totally have your own show for the internet. It would be fucking gigantic. Just film while you're working. You're going to do it anyway. Just film while you're working, loosely edit it, you know, throw a little bumper in the beginning, throw that shit online, and get a million views a day. Everybody wants to see good stuff.
I know, but I want to create things with a lot of quality, so I can't just like half-ass edit stuff, you know? That's
slap
the thing.
That bitch together.
And I have to get like... my friend who does, you know, classical composure to like do, you know.
It's you're kind of a control freak too.
No. I just have
an excellent.
I just have creative intention,
right?
So, whatever. But I mean,
an excellence freak. You want it to be excellent.
Yeah. But I think nowadays, just with everything I have going on, it's so time consuming to do a television show.
Do you take on apprentices, or do you have assistants, or people who ever work with you who want to learn how to tattoo? Has that ever happened?
We kind of like don't at our shop. You know, I have 20 guys that work with me, and I love them. We're brothers and sisters.
20 guys. Holy
shit.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, this includes like our shop managers and stuff like that. You know, and like Dennis, he's like my first guy I ever hired. He's like still there. We're so close. Like what you see on television, those were. You know, like the cast members that they didn't work at the shop, with the exception of Dan Smith, like everybody else kind of, they weren't really the true HBT crew. You know what I mean?
Right.
But and we love each other. We love the way it is. And I feel like when you have an apprentice, it changes the dynamic because it makes somebody better than somebody else. And the way that we work is that we're all good at what we do in different ways. So we're all better and not as good as each other, and we inspire each other and keep each other, you know what I mean?
So it's a collective. It's like
totally collective, and it's awesome.
That sounds badass. How does someone break into your fold? How does someone get into the
group? That's
the
hardest thing is like we've never, every time we've let anybody outside the circle in, it's never really worked out the way we need it. So it's always, you know, it's basically just who we know and kind of comes through that way.
Were there any people that you were growing, when you were growing up, that you looked towards for inspiration, that inspire you and like just gave you momentum to create art?
Yeah, I mean, I think like when I was a kid, I used to look at tattoo magazines. And when I say a kid, I mean like 16 and stuff. And like, I remember looking up to Jack Rudy. He was like,
you know,
the Black and Gray Godfather and all this stuff. And
amazing work that guy did.
Yeah. And so the day I turned 18, beforehand, I made an appointment with him and
really?
Months in advance. And I was so excited about it. And I went and got this tattoo. And I sat there for the fucking 6 hours it took or whatever. And it's one of my favorite tattoos. It's so beautiful. I still love it. But I remember him sitting there going like, you guys don't have any business in the business and all this stuff. And I was like
really?
An 18-year-old kid back then. And, you know, he's very old school and like sees things a different way. And at the time I was like heartbroken, you know, I was like, he wasn't a hero, but like he was somebody I admired, his work just like shut me down. But then at the same time, like, it's cool. Like I'll watch this, like, you know what I mean? And now, you know, fast forward now, I mean, we know each other and, you know, he's.
Did you tell him that story?
No, he knows it.
He doesn't remember.
Yeah, I bet
he doesn't remember.
Yeah, but I mean, I remember like one of the coolest
kids
stories.
These days.
Yeah, when I was tattooing unprofessionally, when I was like an amateur, like 16-year-old, I had heard that there was this girl who owned a shop in Culver City. It was like the only female artist that owned a shop. I was like, whoa, and her name was Erica Stanley. She was badass. And so I remember going down National and I go in there and I was like, oh my God, we're here. And it was just a tattoo shop, whatever. And I see her and she's like really beautiful. And like, she's just like a power, like she's like a force of nature. And she's like, can I help you? And I'm like, yeah, you know. And I was just probably being overly cocky or thinking that I had gained a place in the tattoo industry when I was just a 16-year-old little punk and with a bullshit bang on my arm. And it's like, and I'm just like, oh man, so do you have any advice for me? And I remember she's like, yeah. The best advice I could give you is run while you can. And I remember I was so pissed off, like, oh yeah, well fuck you, you know. And I left. And then years later, I understood what she meant by it. You know, it wasn't that she was saying, oh, you're not good enough. It's just like, like if you got the eye of the tiger, you're gonna do it, and you're figure out yourself. There's nothing I could tell you that's gonna make you badass. You know, if I were to sit there and coddle you, like, what good is that? And she saw tattooing as sacred. And I remember I went to my first tattoo convention when I was 18. It was like Inkslingers. I don't even know if it's still around. But and one of these guys that I tattooed a Vargas portrait on entered it into the contest of best black and gray, and she was the judge. And you know, she never knew my name at the time when I was 16, and I got first place. And she voted for me. And I remember going up to, she's like, oh, congratulations, it was really beautiful. I'm like, hey, you know what? It's funny. When I was 16, I went to your shop and you told me that I should go run while I can. And she goes, oh my God. And I was like, no, I'm like, I just want to say thank you. It's cool, you know? And,
well, you accepted that inspiration the right way.
Yeah. And she's still badass. So it was cool. You know, she's still, I think, a pioneer as far as LA goes, you know, and it's cool.
Comics and tattoo artists have a lot in common in that it's a very much an outside chance of success. We're all fucked up. Yeah, we're both fucked up. We both have too much expression, and it's one of those things where, like, you know, if you say, "What does your daughter do?" Oh, my daughter's a tattoo artist. Like, oh Jesus,
yeah.
You're picturing fucking biker bars, and
I'd be scared if you told me your daughter's a cheerleader. I'd be like,
oh yeah, around football players, yeah, ridiculous. But you know, you say, oh, my daughter's Kat Von D. It's like, oh, she's a famous celebrity tattooist. I've seen that show. She's beautiful.
Uh-huh.
It's a different sort of, you know. It's like as you try to tell your parents you want to be a comic, they look at you like. Good fucking luck. Like, you need to get a job that's going to work. Like,
yeah.
That's not
what do you really want to do?
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, you need to have a backup plan. And, you know, I don't think anybody before you, that's the nuttiest thing about what you did is you became like, I mean, Ami, I guess, is famous too, but he's not famous in the same way. You know, that show, was that the first show? Miami Ink, mm-hmm. Was that the first of those Ink shows? He, for whatever reason, it's just it wasn't the same thing.
There's a lack of sincerity,
that's all. Is that what it is?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I mean, a guy with the shirt off, and I'm not saying that he's not, I don't know him anymore. I haven't seen him in years since those times. And back then I was a drunken mess. But, you know, I think your looks get you so far, you know, and after a while you have to actually care about what you're doing. And you know what I mean? So I think at the time it was probably hard. I can only assume how difficult it would be for something so new, like this, a sensation of a new tattoo show, and being like the front man for that. It must be sidetracking at times, maybe. I'm not
right.
sure.
Right, and then you can make mistakes that if you could go back and do it again, knowing the reaction to all those different things,
yeah,
you'd
maybe
probably
not be so
do something
mean
a little
to people,
different.
You know, and like,
yeah, 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 you know I mean? Know what you're talking about.
So
yeah.
it's that, you know.
Well, sometimes it's hard when there's no one fucked up before you. No one fucked up before you that you could watch and learn from. So
I
you have
know.
To make all the fuck ups
on
your
own.
Look
at all the assholes in the world and be like, I don't want to be like them. there
true.
You go. There's
well,
your
they,
example.
And that is the case. I mean, you know, we don't live in a vacuum. We all need those assholes to show us what it feels like to watch someone be an asshole.
Yeah.
You know, I think. It just as much as you need inspirational people.
Yeah.
I guess we need them all. We need everybody, right, Brian?
Oh, yeah.
What are you doing over there?
Drinking Coke Zero.
Got you off guard.
I'm chugging.
Well, listen, Kat, this has been a lot of fun.
Yeah, thank you guys
really,
so for,
really
much for having me, and I loved hanging
anytime,
out with you.
Anytime. You know, you're very easy to talk to. Really,
oh, cool.
Really cool to talk
How long
to.
Of a
really
wait
fun.
Do you have on your... Like, do you have, like, 3 years or something crazy like that?
Would you be willing to draw a Death Squad cat on Brian's back?
Draw or tattoo?
Tattoo, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You know what I mean. I mean,
I would love
I just
to
need
tattoo.
To get mine fixed.
I'll
oh,
do that.
Yeah,
get
that one that's fucked up. Yeah, what could
waterfall.
You do? Pull that shit up. What could you do to that? What could
oh,
you do to that?
Know.
Would he have to go and get that lasered?
The options are endless. No, you can do something. You got options.
Really?
Yeah, we'll talk.
Cool.
Really?
Yeah.
You think you could do a cover up on that? That sucker?
Maybe, it depends.
All right, beautiful. Look at that, Brian. We got something going on here for
Sweet.
You. It's beautiful. Listen, is there anything that people that is anything you're selling? I know you had a
no,
book out for a while. You still
I,
selling
I
that?
Have
Do people
stuff,
buy
but
that?
I'm not a good commercial.
Do you have a website that people can go and stalk you from?
Her book is actually.
they'll figure it out.
Her book's online right here. Here it is right
oh.
here.
Oh, you guys are forcing stuff on there. I'm not.
No,
I actually,
no one's forcing.
Honestly,
anything.
I'm just like happy
so
to
fun,
be here.
The,
so
we're
happy, here
happy to have you. I'm honored that you chose to come here and hang
yeah,
out.
Yeah, and sorry
it's
took so long too. I wanted to come. Sooner.
Oh no, it's awesome. Anytime you want to come back too,
right, cool.
please come back. It
Thank
was really fun. It's very fun talking to you.
Bye.
And you can check her out on Twitter, the Kat Von D, you dirty fucks. And and also Eddie Bravo. Check Eddie Bravo out and 10thplanetjj.com. Go and learn how to choke people, bitch. Yes. Learn how to get Eddie. It together. Put it together on the mat. Go to deskquad.tv, pick up some Kat shirts. Yeah. Brian's got two available. There's still some of the original available and the new ones. Oh, they're not yet?
Yeah.
No.
I got to get him out of the warehouse.
Okay,
Good
we'll shit. Get him out of the warehouse. And thank you to onnit.com. That's O-N-N-I-T. Use the code name. Got your back. What's today's date?
The 10th.
The 10th. For 2 more days, you get 18% off. And after that, code name Rogan, you will save 10% off any and all orders of supplements. All right, you fucks. We'll see you guys tomorrow with my good pal, Tommy Segura. And then we will return again on Thursday with... the great Mac Danzig. So I'm looking forward to this very much. And we'll have yourself a great weekend. My new studio is done. I got the lease. Brian and I are going to go check it out tomorrow, and we start planning. The clock guy is going to do some stuff for us.
Cool. Yeah.
He's going to build some
it's
shit.
Awesome.
Yeah, that guy's awesome. All right. We love you guys. Thank you. Bye.